Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen! Yakuza Radio. Love the name, Yakuza. You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look what that got you, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
June 2nd, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Mars. And with me, at least for now, is Eric Williams. What's going on, man?
Oh, shit. I'm on air. Hey, what's going on, J-Cat? How you doing?
Oh, you sound very awake tonight. I hope that continues throughout the show. Fantastic.
You know what's good for you? You know what's really good for you?
What's that?
The Eric Williams tradition is back for the summertime shows.
Oh, the Eric Williams tradition. That's right.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, too.
Yeah. That's Eric jumps in the pool.
Yeah, jumps in the pool right before the show, gets right out of the pool, and I'm good. I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm ready.
Cool.
Real quick, before you say anything, a big fuck you to Fat Frank for, closing Jersey All Pro. So, yeah, fuck you.
Wow.
You weren't even going to fucking run a show in 2010. Fuck you.
Well, I mean, we'll get into
that. No. Don't get me fucking started. I would have liked to go to another Jersey independent show. What the fuck does Jersey fucking fans have to fucking watch now? Well, I don't even know what there is to do in Jersey. Jersey shouldn't even have a fucking state in 2010. How about that?
Jesus Christ. Only a Pennsylvania person would say that. So that's
you know what?
Whatever.
No, people in Delaware would say that shit. People in Maryland would say that.
How was the
Memorial Day party? How was that?
Oh man, it was like my own personal man show in my backyard. You had drinking, you had food, you had girls on trampolines. For real, you had horseshoes, you had shooting, fireworks at police, you had, and I'm not bullshitting. Yo, this party was off the hook, man. It was so much fun. So, yeah, I'm going to be doing another one on 4th of July.
Was there any police intervention?
Any what?
Police intervention, like, you know, police.
No, they briefly rolled down the block while we were shooting fireworks off, and, you know, one of the people I was with decided to point a Roman candle down the road where the cop car was coming. So, like I said, it pretty much firing fireworks at the cop car, and luckily, you know, nobody got arrested or fined or anything, and the night went on. But definitely was part of the shenanigans, and they were cool enough and understanding, and everything was good, and it went on and on and on, and it, long night, lots of fun, crazy drinks, fucking food was banging, you know, a lot of good people.
Maybe I'll come down there one day for one of those infamous parties. You'll never know.
Well, 4th of July is our next jump off, so we'll, you know, you can look at that one, or we got other ones after that as well lined up. So anyway, one thing, you know, if anybody is actually listening and hoping to hear B-Boy tonight, unfortunately, you won't. He had told me earlier today that he got called into work and wasn't able to be on tonight, and that he would come on next week. So we're looking forward to that, and apologize to anybody that, you know, was only tuning in for that. But we'll do our best to entertain you tonight. And, yeah, man, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we got a lot of shit to talk about. There's a lot of different things going on. Dragon Gate's got a triple header this weekend. I don't have the cards in front of me, but they do have stellar lineups lined up. Boston and I think two in New York. And, yeah, pretty big lineups, so... Definitely check them out if you're in the area. Bunch of different things happened. I'm going to go over a few things that I did last week, too, because part of us was unconscious and it wasn't me. So, you know, I prefer conversation over just hearing myself.
Was it one? Was it one? I don't know. I don't know who fell asleep. I lost signal.
All right. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, anyway, I got a few clips too, but in some non-wrestling thing, because of course, you know, I get heat from everybody who just tells me that it should only be about wrestling, because obviously we have executive producers that listen to the show. So, I apologize and everything, but, well, here's my loophole that I'll use for this. One thing I definitely got to mention, like I said, I got some clips, is, pretty much my favorite athlete to play play a sport is Shaquille O'Neal. He just hung him up. He retired this week, 19 years in the league, handful of titles. I mean, definitely the most dominant center to ever play the game. So, I mean, obviously, I wish he could have made 20 years, but, you know, the signs of aging was showing for sure. I mean, this guy, he busted his fucking ass, and the fact of the matter is, you know, they had a fucking technique.
Hey, we want to welcome to the chat room half-breed Billy Graham into the chat room.
Awesome. Billy's my man. Pulp Fiction to the death, motherfuckers. And
yeah.
So like I was saying, you know, Shaq did his fucking thing. They actually had a technique where they would just beat the shit out of him and, you know, foul him and put him on the line because he couldn't shoot free throws. Hack a Shaq. So 19 years of people purposely beating the shit out of you is kind of a rough go. So, yeah, man, he had a great career. Most dominant center to play the game. And, yeah, man, I hope, you know, your retirement goes well for you. The loophole that I have to tie in is, well, he was a Raw guest host. So, all right, there's your wrestling. Thanks. Other things we have to get into. Karma. I brought it up last week. Eric didn't hear it. However, Karma. The whole thing happened where, you know, she came into the ring breaking down, crying, you know, with, I think it was like a six-woman or a tag match or some shit like that. And you thought she was going to come in and crush shit. And, yeah, she just broke down in the ring, started crying. And immediately the rumors circulated and said that, well, she's pregnant. And she's going to be out like a year. So
I wonder who the baby daddy is. It could be anybody. Hell,
it could be
Vince McMahon.
It could be Eric Williams.
Absolutely not. Let's not fucking go there. No fucking ain't getting money for me. That ain't my baby.
Okay. I don't think she's searching for anybody. I do believe she's married and she's going to be very, very happy. It's one of her dreams.
That's what she says.
Did Are you doubting this woman? Are you fucking serious?
I don't know sometimes. You know what, though? On Raw, I was like, wow, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, she fucking, like, brought in, like, a whole fucking speech of why the fuck she's pregnant type deal. It's like,
do we have to explain this to you, Eric? Why
no,
she's pregnant?
No, this shit was ridiculous. What the fuck? Couldn't they do something like, you don't see fucking Michelle McCool going, well, I'm gonna leave the business. I'm gonna leave WWE right now because you know I might be pregnant.
Dude, it's fucking heartfelt. It's serious shit. They had her on a monster angle. This she was gonna fucking kill everybody in her fucking path, and then all of a sudden she has to disappear. And if you're in still good graces with the company, and the fact of the matter is you're gonna have a baby. That was a dream of hers to become a mother. It was also a dream of hers to be in the WWE, so she addressed that. She went out there. She fucking told everybody the fucking truth. And that's the bottom line. I don't see where that's a bad move. How do you disappear her off TV?
Have somebody attack her. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't anything they could have done to make her come back as a heel. I mean, like, now it kind of... Like, her coming back, whenever she does come back, it's going to be hard for people to realize, like, oh, shit, this girl's a heel. Like,
well, I mean, whether she's heel or face when she comes back, I don't think that matters. She was a face to me because I loved seeing her destroy bitches, so it's not, like, a bad thing to me. But either way, you know, what I'm saying is, like, when you have someone on a monster fucking gimmick and they have to leave immediately, they can't, like, wrap up the angle. They can't have someone destroy her. She's pregnant. They're not going to have someone take a monster out. You know how much abuse they would have to hit her with after her destroying other girls while pregnant? I mean, I know it's early, but either way, you can't have, you know, some chick fucking running her over with a truck. Or fucking setting her house on fire, you know.
Billy Graham just put, Billy Graham is the father of the baby.
Oh, so congrats, Billy. But like I said, it's really hard to come out of that gimmick and that storyline without just being legit and just being like, seriously, fucking, this is what I wanted to do. And it wasn't really expected, but it's definitely one of my dreams, as well as being here is one of my dreams. So when I get back, it's fucking on, you know. And WWE was obviously happy enough with what she was doing to give her that opportunity to say, hey, you know what? The door's open. When you're ready, come back.
Technically, they can't really do anything. I mean, they have to keep her under contract because that's a law, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but you could be like, yo, you know, on the way out, you'd be like, oh, fucking, I don't like the way you took a knee on that fucking crying spot. So it wasn't, it has nothing to do with being pregnant. I didn't believe you were crying. You know, and they could fire you. It's the same shit. Like, there's loopholes. There's ways around it. You could completely fuck up at your job on the way out. And before you say, I'm pregnant, they'll be like, yeah, you know what? We had reason to fucking get rid of you. Either way, I mean, there's really... I mean, what? It doesn't make any sense to say, hey, they couldn't possibly get rid of
boy.
Her.
Oh, boy. Billy's over here having a good old time over there. He says that the baby's going to be called DJ Graham Tong Jr.
Huh. DJ Graham Tong Jr. Well, I mean, it's creative, and I don't know why you would name anything DJ, but, you know.
What if it's a girl, though? You a DJ still? I mean, we know
DJ
is
like DJ Tanner from fucking Full House.
Oh, yeah,
I believe that's
Full
where
House.
That.
I believe that's where
the other guy got his name from.
Yeah, well, and he's a pussy too. Yeah.
Wow, Eric's brave tonight. Not only is he awake, but look at him. He's just firing off.
No. Fuck that fucking asshole.
Fuck that
faggot.
I'd rather not, but go ahead.
Well, I'm not talking literally. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, another thing that happened, now that, you know, we've covered Karma and everything, and, you know, I wish her the best. Yeah, man, I was happy to see her performing and doing her thing. But also, I mean, shit, man, she wanted to be a mother, so, I mean, you really can't hate that, you know? And it wouldn't be PC whatsoever for her to hit that baby with that finisher.
Woo!
Because, you know, that's...
Billy. Oh, my God, Billy. If it's a girl, they will name it Drake.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Well, I don't know. Billy Graham just shooting. yeah, another thing that happened recently, and you know, it was one of many people that Devin called an asshole for hurting other people in his shoot interview. Check that shit out, smartmarkvideo.com. And that's you know, Devin Moore's shoot. And he called Spiral an asshole for hurting Mike Seidel doing a flipping styles clash and just completely reckless and hurt Mike Seidel.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I mean, I tend to agree with that. Cool looking as hell to fans, but, you know, honestly, if you can't pull that off without hurting the other guy, then don't do it.
You shouldn't be doing it.
There's mistakes that happen, obviously. I mean, if it's something you've done 100 times and one time someone gets hurt, I understand. But I've never seen no shit like that before. It was off, like, a pretty tremendous height as well. But,
were you at the show? Were you at that
yeah,
show?
Yeah, I was, yeah. It was
did
one of them aerial saw joints.
Did it look awful?
It might have been off a platform. I'm not really positive. I kind of forget. But, like,
you
what height it was off of. Oh, I remember seeing it and going, holy fuck, this kid's dead. And luckily, I think, like, he broke his wrist or some shit like that instead of his neck, because it definitely looked like a neck injury. But he apparently, Spiral, just suffered a severe neck injury, like severe neck injury. And they said it was during training or something like that. And, yeah, I don't want to say he deserved it or anything like that. But, you know, man, I hope he heals well. You know, I wish him and his family the best. He's got a wife and kids and shit. And, or kid. I'm not sure kid or kids, if it's plural
yeah,
or not.
Yeah, it's more like kid. Honestly, it's wrestling. It's the wrestling business. Anything can happen in the wrestling business.
Right, right.
And,
but when it comes to, like, severe neck injuries, I mean, you could lose your fucking, you know, your movement. You could be paralyzed off of that shit. So, you know, I wish him the best off of that. You know, it's a dangerous, dangerous sport, kind of like what you're saying. But sometimes you got to know when to reel it in. And I don't know if it was anything close to that, where it was like, you know, he was pushing the limits to something he shouldn't have been doing or whatnot. I know he shouldn't have been doing the shit with Mike Seidel like that, but I don't know, man.
Even Billy agrees. Billy agrees that he shouldn't be doing that shit.
Right. So, you know, I understand trying to push the limits, but sometimes people get hurt and it's unnecessary. So, you know, I hope this wasn't one of those occasions that he wasn't trying to do some shit he wasn't supposed to and hurt his fucking self severely. But maybe this is a wake-up call. Hopefully he's perfectly okay and just learns from it. You know, I don't know.
Like, it seems like, you know, those three New Yorkers that CZW brought in, I'm talking about Ghost, Shadow, Spiral, and Heretic, where are they at?
Well,
I like
Heretic quite a bit.
I like Heretic. That's my dude.
Yeah.
Right,
I don't know where he went. I don't.
He's completely out of the wrestling business, to be honest with you.
I thought
completely
so. I thought he was done with it.
He's been out for
know.
5 years.
Yeah, I thought he was really, really talented. I had, you know, he was really fun to watch. Very entertaining dude. But, you know, and he was another dude that needed more polishing and stuff. He needed a little more, you know, technical training, this type of stuff. But, I mean, he definitely had the entertainment part of it worked out because he was very good.
He trained actually with, from what he was telling me the one time, you know, I talked to him on the phone sometimes to say that, but he's actually trained by the original Doghouse. I don't know if many people know
cool.
that, but he trained with the original Doghouse.
No, I actually didn't know that at all. But no, I mean, he was good. I just think he needed to put more work into it because there's some guys that like a Brian XL.
Right.
Dude was like on a younger level of Red. Like him and Red were squaring off in the ring, and you could tell Red was just more polished at the time, back in 2001. Red was just more polished. XL had the fucking talent. He had the aerials, he had the ability, but he just wasn't as polished as Red was. And that's like what I'm saying, like, there's guys that are really fucking talented, just naturally fucking athletically gifted, and they're just not polished enough. And it just takes effort and working on it. And, you know, once they work on it, you could tell that everything falls into place. But what can you do, man?
You know, it's funny. Another two other guys, and we're I know we're completely off topic, but two guys that really never got their due, and I don't even know where they are, but Chris Devine and who was the other guy? Quiet Storm.
Quiet Storm. Quiet Storm.
Yeah,
still works in New York. Quiet Storm still works in New York. I keep seeing cards with him on like Crazy Six Man and this and that, and then working Sabian and working this, working that, like working all sorts of people. He's definitely working. I think he's working Sabbath shows, but he's definitely working New York feds. I keep seeing his name pop up and hoping the CZW brings him back, because I like Quiet Storm a lot, too. He was undersized for anybody who judges things by size, but he fucking performed. He was intense.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, too, he had a, when the hell was it, like 06. Like early 06 to like 2008, he was over in Japan in the dojo, training over in the dojo. I believe that's what.
Very possible. Fucking, you know, I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, from my perspective, that fucking Storm Cradle Driver fucking gave birth to the Joker Driver, to the fucking, that shit B-Boy does. I forget what he calls his shit.
That's the same shit, though. That's still the Storm Cradle Driver.
He did it out of like a B-Boy did it out of like a wheelbarrow though, so it wasn't like the same thing. Like he kind of like changed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
All of it was born out of the Storm Cradle Driver, and I think Super Dragon did some shit like that.
Right.
Yeah. All super impressive. You know, I don't take anything from anybody that did it, but. Yeah, I remember seeing that, and everybody as fans were just like, holy shit, like, look at the fucking, he just put that fucking guy on his head, like, you know, but he had his way of doing it, and at his height, oh, man, that's talent, that's fucking serious talent to protect the other guy that well. I never heard of anybody getting their neck broken doing that, and yeah, he was nailing people with that shit, so. Yeah, much respect to that guy, and I do hope he, you know, gets his way back to CZW. I mean, it's been quite some time. There's many people I'd like to see back.
you know how a certain Mark feels, you know what I'm saying?
Like, a Mark Land?
Oh, yeah, that Mark. Yeah, well, the Mark, the ultimate Mark is he's bringing back Ricky Reyes.
He lives in Mark Land.
The ultimate Mark. What?
He lives in Mark Land.
Yeah. He's the king. He's the mayor of Mark.
The mayor of
He's
Mark
the mayor
Land.
Of the, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
He's
the
biggest Mark. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he has any say in CZW, to be honest with you. I think you're talking about a different Mark. You know.
Huh. No, it's
anyway.
Not the Mark that has all the same ZZW, but go ahead. Well, Jersey All Pro. You just kind of started off to the beginning of the show.
Next topic.
Well, what I wanted to say is, you know, for those who don't know, Fat Frank put something out there. And it's funny because I went off on a rant last week about it by myself because Eric was catching Z's. And I went off about it. And some fan, I guess, maybe listened to our show. Maybe like a half hour after my show was done, was posting some shit on Fat Frank's wall about, yo, people are talking. And then all of a sudden I see Fat Frank post, I hear a lot of people are typing and saying things about me and blah, 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 more or less responding, and it was just funny to me. But, I'm speaking from truth. Like, this dude hosted, you know, he put on Jersey All Pro for many, many years, and I've supported the company, and I will continue to support the company. I went to low-key fucking Sammy shit in South River. It was off the fucking hook. I came on the show and I said it was the fucking best match of the year. So this isn't some shit where, like, oh, I just fucking hate Jersey All-Pro or Fat Frank. That's never been like that. The bottom line is I see some things happening, and I've seen he was losing his passion for his own company. What are you doing over there?
It
sounds like you're drop-kicking your phone.
Yeah, I'm drop-kicking my phone. Actually, I'm not. I'm walking to
that
get something.
That sounds fantastic on the radio.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyway.
Real quick, you know, let's give a shout out to Juan, and Juan says, "Fuck Fat Frank." So yeah.
It seems like the popular theme, other than me. But listen, I think he's an arrogant dude. But either way, I mean, he had a successful company for all these years. Now everybody knows fucking independent companies don't just consistently run well over 400 fans every month, because that's impossible to do. I mean, I seen him losing passion for it. His shows came a little bit further apart, and he just didn't seem like you'd be at a show and you'd see him with his fucking nose in the air. Fucking fans are bugging out at a match. He might slightly glance at the ring and then just keep fucking walking, go get a hot dog or some shit like that. That's not what a guy who's passionate about his company is doing. I mean, you would have some kind of eye on the fucking ring, especially when the fucking shows aren't coming out on DVD for fucking 6 months, and fucking half the time, like, fucking Low-Key and Sammy came out only online. They don't have the ability to sell that fucking show because they fucked shit up with the camera guy, and they couldn't pay this, and they wanted to lowball him, and this next thing you know, fucking one of the best matches of the fucking year is up online for free, and the rest of the fucking show isn't even fucking available. So it's amazing to me when you see that type of shit off of a guy who's been running a company so many years, well over a decade, you could tell that he's losing some fucking steam. He's not putting the fucking effort out to that company that he should be. You know, he did in the past. He fucking built a lot of names in Jersey All-Pro. He did a lot of things. He went a lot of places, but seemed like the fire was dwindling. So the next thing he does, and a good business move, honestly, he fucking helps host TNA events. Okay, so now he's getting fucking 800 people in the Rawway Rec Center and shit like that. He hosts fucking, after that, he hosts fucking New Japan. New Japan's got fucking 800, 1,000 people in the fucking Rec Center. And New York and Philly, big fucking shows. All right. Well, his recent statement that he posted to the fans was, "I need to take a break from Jersey All-Pro and find my love for it again. This isn't goodbye. I just need some time off. I'm no longer interested in running shows that only draw 300 or 400 people." And I forget what else he actually said, but those are the main fucking points that you got to look at. Now, if you're no longer interested in running shows that draw 300 or 400 people, then you are no longer interested in running an independent company. Period. Period. End of fucking story. Because there is not a year that he fucking ran a show. There's not a year that any fucking company in this fucking in the United States ran a fucking show. That they ran monthly shows or bi-monthly shows and had fucking more than 400 people every single show. That's fucking delusional. There's no way. So, yeah, there's some big houses. You'll have a big show. You'll get a real big house, but it's not every fucking month. And if your fucking mind and your heart is telling you, "I'm no longer interested in fucking having 400 people in that." I mean, 400 people in a fucking show in Delaware would blow a fucking mind of a Delaware promoter. If fucking Sean Hardy, 1CW, had 400 people a month, he'd be fucking jumping up and down like a schoolgirl. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a bad house for a lot of places. But when you see, oh, I hosted better companies
but
than what
New
I
Jersey,
ran.
But for New Jersey, it's a bad. It's bad because there's a lot of New Jersey fans.
Well, it's not a bad house. It's a decent house. Yeah, of course, your bigger shows are going to get bigger crowds. And when you host fucking TNA, or you host fucking New Japan Wrestling that brings half of their fucking company over here, I don't know what the fucking plane... The fucking combined plane tickets couldn't have been made back in fucking sales. Could not have been made back in sales. That's a lot of... They flew over fucking like 17 fucking workers, not even counting the fucking people who were in the back or staff or any of that shit. They flew over like fucking 17 workers. You're telling me that fucking 1,000 fucking fans in a building fucking paid for that? Like, seriously, dude. Either way, you want your fucking company, your local Jersey company, to book like that type of shit running monthly. You're just delusional. He's done. He's done. Unless he changes his fucking mind and gets back to like an independent mentality, he's fucking done. That's the way I see it. It's not just like, fuck Fat Frank, that motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. Like, I'm just calling it for what it looks like. And if you're not, 400 fans doesn't do it for you at all, well then, dude, you already know what it is. What do you think?
And you know, somebody in the chat room said, you know, those 300 to 400 people are coming to the shows when every show, you know what I mean? So it's not like they're running 300 one month and then they're running 50 fans the next month. They're running 300 every show, about at least 300 a show, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, what did this fucking asshole Ian fucking run on half of the shows? He had fucking, like, big fucking
people.
Shows. His fucking big shows had 150 fucking people if he was lucky on some of them. You could see the fucking crowd. Like, to quote New Jack on one of his quotes is, they ran a theme show, and half the crowd was dressed up as chairs. You know?
Oh, that's where you get that. That's where you get that infamous J. Cat Morris.
It's not my shit.
Oh, the theme show.
Yeah, it's a theme show. Half the crowd were dressed up as chairs, and that's the way it fucking goes, man. That's the independent business. It's not that fucking easy to put 400 fans in a building. And when you host a bigger company, and now you want to be that bigger company, dude, grow your company or shut your fucking face, because I don't feel bad for you. No, there's so many fucking independent companies that wish they were as successful as you. And you need to take a break because it's not good enough for you. Well, you need to get off your fucking high horse, period.
Hey, real quick, Nicole's in the chat room, so we'll give a shout out to
awesome,
Nicole.
Awesome, awesome. Big shout out. Yeah, so what else we got? You know what? I ran through a few fucking topics already. I plan on playing a bunch of Macho clips last week, and didn't get the chance to, don't know why.
Oh, you've got to say one more time about the B-Boy thing, because there's people in the chat room thinking about talking about B-Boy coming on.
Oh, yeah. He had to cancel. He got called into work last minute today, and he told me that, yeah, next week. We got to do it next week. So I apologize to everybody. We'll do the best we can for you tonight. If you only tuned in for B-Boy, I apologize. It's not going to happen this week. But, you know, he just IM'd us today, letting us know fucking can't do it this week. So next week is lined up. Thus far, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that does happen, and whether we got to pre-record it or, you know, do it live or whatever, but that's what we're going to do anyway. So what I wanted to do is play a Macho Man promo, because I planned on doing a lot of that last week.
And, what do you want to play?
Just pick a promo and play it up.
In over the many, many years that I've covered professional wrestling, I have seen a lot of changes. A lot of changes in this great sport. And a lot of changes in a number of individuals in professional wrestling. In the World Wrestling Federation, here is a man that has not only turned it around 180 degrees.
180 degrees.
But he's gone another 360 and then.
360.
And then another 180. Macho Man Randy Savage. You have changed over the past couple of months, like I can not believe, sir.
I'm a chameleon, yeah.
A chameleon?
Yeah. I'm talking about the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on. In the video scope, yeah, I am looking right into you right now. Macho Madness right now. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. Macho Madness is on a roll and it can't be stopped. No, Elizabeth understands what I'm talking about, yeah.
Why is it, Macho Man, when I sit and talk to you, stand and talk to you for that matter, that I think of old Sonny and Cher hits? Why is that?
Unbelievable. Time distortion. Space is the place. Me and Gene Okerlund go down that lonesome highway. Yeah, but don't be hypnotized. No, reincarnation doesn't have to be. You can concentrate and you can telepathy. Yeah.
But the beat goes on.
But the beat goes on.
That beat in particular has got to include maybe the honky-tonk man, the intercontinental champion of the world. I know you're not getting along real well with members of the Bobby Heenan family, Macho Man. Not at all.
Let me tell you something right now. Talking about the greatest intercontinental champion that ever lived, the honky-tonk man is out of line. Yeah, because I am the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion that ever lived, and I'm the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived, and I'm living now, yeah, right now.
You know, he makes no bones about making the proclamation that he is, I'm talking about the honky-tonk man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
He says I can't sing and I can't dance, but I can make romance. Yeah, right there, the fork in the road. I said go right. Elizabeth said go left. I went right. And then I understand what the situation was. I went over that one bridge, yeah. And then when I crossed that bridge, I found out that I was on the right side. And I said, Elizabeth, follow me, yeah, because I'm going straight to the top. The stars, yeah, the stars. One shining star in the night, shining brighter than all the other ones. And I'm talking light years away, yeah.
You're talking Macho Madness.
Macho Madness, yeah. Macho Madness rolling, yeah. You thought so, but I know so. And Macho Madness is coming straight at you, Honky Tonk Man. And alike, yeah, because I'm on a roll and I ain't stopping, yeah. Elizabeth, go right and I'm going left.
Can I ask a question, Macho Man?
No more questions.
I'm sorry about that. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, that's what it is. And the beat goes on. In other news, I just heard today that WWE video games, they decided to go the way of the sports games. They're trying to change their whole tone and go another way. Got a lot of echo, Eric. And what they're doing is, even worse. So instead of being Raw versus SmackDown 2011 and that type of thing, they're now doing, their next game will actually be called WWE 12. So that's, you know, they're just going to go in progression with numbers and just do it like that and try to be like more serious as maybe like a sports game type thing. So, hey, catering towards the same market, so I don't really think it matters, but just
that's
just
stupid.
Yeah, it's that'll be out in the fall. So, what can you do? The beat goes on.
Give Vince McMahon a fucking body slam. Body slam that motherfucker.
Right. Some other things. Moxley has received his new generic fucking name, and is Dean Ambrose. That's his name. So Mox will be known as Dean Ambrose now. Maybe you never know, because I mean they could very well change that shit again. That shit could end up 12 fucking things before he actually hits the WWE. If he does, I mean, a guy like Colt Cabana didn't fucking hit the WWE, and you know, who knows? Husky Harris, that fucking guy, he was doing, I guess, decent or whatever. You know, not terrible. And they sent him back to fucking Florida and repackaged him with like a fucking Mankind gimmick, like a Mankind fucking Abyss gimmick. Husky Harris.
Really?
Yeah, he's got like a kind of like a Mankind fucking Abyss mask on, and they have him under a completely different name now. I don't have the name on him, but
why? Why?
I don't fucking know. Apparently they didn't like that. What the hell
they're
is
fucking,
they
called?
Yeah.
This fucking
yeah.
must be. This might be fucking like the. This might be Reggie fucking in charge of fucking WWE today.
Yeah, maybe he's the ambassador.
He wants to fucking more radio shows.
Yeah, oh, fucking Reggie's got like 25 radio shows planned. I wish he'd
fucking
all of them, but I mean, he's got backyard wrestling soup, MMA soup, the whole shit. Like, I don't understand. Whatever, dude. You know, we've had him on the show every time,
yeah,
and it's like someone hit him with a.
He's gonna be doing cooking soup. He's gonna be doing frying pan soup. He's gonna be doing ice cream.
Every
soup.
Time we brought him on, it was like someone hit him with a fucking horse tranquilizer before he got on here. You know, someone fucking shot a rhino dart into his ass because he just. Hey guys, how you doing? I'm just on the radio. Like, and you see him on fucking YouTube, and he's freaking out and shit, yelling, fucking swinging frying pans around.
Stop,
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. We'll see. I wish him luck. But, and the shit always starts, like, fucking 4 months from when he starts promoting it. He's like, oh, fucking, this shit's coming out in fucking October. Like, why? You could set that shit up this week. Like, I don't understand. Whatever.
That's his business.
Speaking of
not mine.
Getting fucking hugely fucked, what do you think about the new China, the new China situation?
What's going on with that? I don't fucking follow that stupid TNA shit.
Oh, well, I mean, yes, I'm sure she'll be fucked there as well. But I wasn't talking about TNA. Apparently China is getting back into porno. And this one is not, like, the first one was, what the fuck was it? One Night
China. It was about threesome. Yeah, the one with Sean Waltman, right?
Yes, yes. X.
And now she's doing a threesome.
Well, that was, no. Goes further than that. That one was called One Night in China. And it featured China and X-Pac, which, you know, is gross enough for anybody. But
and she had a penis. She had a penis in the porn, from what I've heard.
Well, apparently the steroids turn your clit into a baby dick if you're a chick.
That's
so
fucking gross.
I haven't been a chick or on steroids. I really can't vouch for either, but that's what I hear.
Right now, hearing about that shit.
So, oh, yeah, well. Keep your fucking lunch in you and dinner. But the next one, she had requested to be involved with some of the biggest, both famous-wise and size-wise.
Oh, boy.
Porn stars, male porn stars in the business. So
Who is she, fucking Ron Jeremy and fucking...
No, Evan Stone and I think Lee Stone or some shit like that.
Oh, who the fuck cares?
Right, okay, but bottom line, this one is called Backdoor into China.
Oh, my gosh.
So you can tell the theme of this one. You can tell where they're going with this one, literally, where they're going. And
they're going in the back door.
It is definitely
Here's the thing, though. Is there a back door, or is it just going to be a block back door?
Huh?
I said the back door might be blocked, if you know what I mean.
Not really, but... So, and there's definite, confirmation that this will feature double penetration. So...
Now, here's my thing.
Yeah,
pretty gross. What is TNA feeling? What is TNA thinking?
I don't think TNA's feeling what China was feeling, but...
Do you think that they're going to keep using her, or no?
Maybe similar. Oh, please. Fucking Jeff Hardy got fucking... multiple fucking drug charges up on him. Fucking
Ric
Flair's
fucking... Okay, let's be honest with each other. If she was hot, everything would be fine. Jeff Hardy is over as hell with the female, with the females, for whatever reason. China is fucking hideous.
It's funny how when she was in the WWE, she did Playboy. When she
and
was
she
in TNA, when she was in TNA, she did double penetration. I think that's a pretty good comparison of the companies, and I beg anyone to differ because that's something else.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
and she's probably gonna make a buttload of money.
Hey, whoa. What's the puns?
Whoa.
A buttload of money. Huh?
A buttload.
She sure will.
Of course.
But apparently X-Pac has also spoken out and said he's not happy with us at all. And we were doing, this is how X-Pac rolls. He goes, you know, back then when we did that porno, we were both at really low points in our lives, and we were doing really heavy drugs, and I'm really sad to see that she's still at the same point in her life this many years later. So that's how he rolls, you know. I don't know. I don't see either one of them in great standings in their life, but apparently X-Pac thinks he is, so that's
he's
cool.
Telling people, have you heard about this, too? He's telling people that he's going back to the WWE.
Really?
Yep.
Well, he might go back there in a video package if he overdoses, but that's about it. I'm not really, not
this
really could, sure on that.
This show has went from Yakuza Kick Radio to J-Cat Shooting Radio.
I don't know, man. I'm saying some cats in the business are just a fucking mess, and they're a mess all over the fucking in public. You know, like, it's not fucking hidden, and I didn't fucking meet this guy on the street and say, oh, wow, hey, everybody, let me tell you what he's looking like. No, like, everybody has seen what these fucking people are going through. So, I mean, honestly, he looked really good on fucking Chikara, and he was shocked off his ass that wrestling still exists to that caliber. And I'm glad he got to see that, but he's not going to get over in the big market again. If it is, it's going to be like a last fucking retirement tour because he's been off TV for a while, but Vince doesn't want none of that fucking baggage. No fucking way.
Billy in the chat room thinks that he thinks Sean will get another chance in the WWE.
Maybe. But it's going to be like a last shot. You'll see him for maybe a year.
What is Kevin Nash doing? Let's be honest. What the hell is Kevin Nash doing with the company?
Kevin Nash, I also told you this last week while you were sleeping, but he was freaking out on people because his 14-year-old son is doing country music.
Oh, yeah, you told me that off air.
Right, and and I repeated it again on air. But his 14-year-old son is doing country music, and apparently he's freaking the fuck out because some people don't like it. And he's just out calling people cocksuckers and telling them to
How old is this man?
Shut their dick suckers up. Otherwise, just talking all this silly shit. Like, I mean, if a wrestler of that fucking many years in the business doesn't know what criticism is and what, and have a little bit of thick skin, there's no way that Kevin Nash doesn't have thick skin at this point, right? You would think. All of a sudden he turns into fucking Papa Bear, and, anybody that's fucking criticizing his country singing cub, he's fucking lashing out. He's ripping throats. He's calling people cocksuckers and shit to the public. If there's any 15-year-olds following him on Twitter, they got an eyeful out of him the fucking past couple of weeks because, holy shit, he's fucking freaking out. So, what can you do? That's not my problem.
Any update on a score of a basketball game?
I'm outside staring at the fire, and you can give me an update if you like, because I'm...
Maria, I should give you.
Yeah, I'm very intense into the fucking... That's my team. That's Miami Heat, and they're winning the fucking title this year, just so everybody knows. Like, they are as advertised. I know everybody, you know, I think Benny, he, B-Boy, he said that the Lakers would win it this year.
That's not happening.
I think Sabian said the Celtics would win it this year.
Wow, so, Matt, Dallas leads in the second quarter 39-34.
Good, good. I like the other team to have an early lead because that's what happened. We were back and forth on game one, and then down the stretch, we just fucking put them away. Dirk already has a fucking, like, torn ligament in his fucking finger.
He's playing,
in his left hand. Oh, yeah, he's playing. Oh, yeah, he's going to play. He's a tough dude. But, he's got a torn ligament in his one of his left fingers. So, that's after game one. And LeBron and Wade light up down the stretch, man. If you're talking clutch, those are two guys you want on your fucking team. And, yeah, it's ridiculous, man. We are as fucking advertised. People all year was like, oh, well, they'll never get the chemistry. Maybe in a couple years they'll win a title. Oh, really? Okay. Well, all those teams everybody else predicted are sitting at home right now watching the fucking Heat play. So, good luck, guys. Good luck. And the last time the fucking Mavericks were in the finals, they got sent home by the fucking Miami Heat. So, anyway, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. And that's no problem. Like I said, towards the end of the show, I'm definitely going to be back in the house watching those Heat on mute and just fucking chilling out doing the show. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. What else you got, Eric?
Well, what else should we talk about? Do you want to play a Shaq clip? Because there's one of the Shaq clips that I've heard before. And I laugh my ass off every time I hear it.
Why not? Yeah, speaking of the Lakers and the reason why the Lakers went home, and, you know, obviously Shaq ain't in it no more, but he definitely, you know, he went further than Kobe did this year and until the Celtics ran into us. But, yeah, go ahead and play that clip.
Check it, you know how I be. Last week Kobe couldn't do without me. You know how I be. Last week Kobe couldn't do without me. I call myself big, but I'm not as good as Biggie. I call myself big cause I live next to Diddy. Excuse me, Diddy lives next to me. So in the hood, dog, I feel like B.I.G. Cause if Biggie was still here, he would be right there. On Star Island in the mansion somewhere chilling, sitting on about half a billion. Cause me and Gun can buy shit, that's half a billion. For real, dog, now that's B.I.G. Ain't nobody in the world do it bigger than me. That's like a white boy trying to be more nigga than me. That's like a homeless cat having more figures than me. That's like Patrick Ewing having more range than me. That's like rappers having cars good things than me. That's like you saying to yourself you're better than me. That's like Kareem saying to himself he's better than me. Now stop, think about that. It ain't about that. It's about P.I.G. a.k.a. Big Shaq. Now that's the difference between first and last place. Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Okay, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Okay, everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. I'm a horse, Kobe ratted me out, that's why I'm getting divorced. He said Shaq gave a bitch a meal. I don't do that, cause my name's Shaquille. I love him, I don't leave him. I got a vasectomy, now I can't breed him. Kobe, how my ass tastes. Everybody, Kobe, how my ass tastes. Yeah, you couldn't do without me. Kobe, you couldn't do without me. Kobe, you can't do without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Yeah, you can't do without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do without me. Everybody, Kobe. Yeah. Thank you. Brick City in the building.
Yeah. Shaq's
fucking
a character,
awesome.
Man. I've always loved Shaq, man. He's just a character. I mean, he's such a personality. He's really never bit his fucking tongue, man. And he's been a guy that just said what the fuck he wanted to. He went out there. He was super dominant. He was a clown. Like, he was a fun guy. But, yeah, if he had some evil motherfuckers, he went out talking some shit. But he was a fun-loving dude. He's always a fun-loving dude. And you're going to see a lot more funny shit now that he's out of the league.
Wow. Nicole in the chat room posted, is he saying, Kobe, how my ass tastes?
Yeah, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. That's exactly what he was saying.
No, it sounds like it's saying Toby.
Oh, Toby, no, he did not say Toby. He does not. No. He's talking about Kobe Bryant. But if you feel like playing that to Toby and seeing if he buys that, then you go right ahead. You know? Like, hey, Shaq retired and started talking shit about you. I think he's entering wrestling. He's lacing the boots up now, and oh shit, he just called you out. Boy, would
Nicole
that be
said,
fucking interesting.
Nicole said she's not telling him that.
Well, I think that's better for Shaq. He's trying to take it easy, not fight Mr. Insanity. So he's not retiring to get hurt. So.
Right.
Oh, yeah. What else you got, Eric? I mean, we got, not this coming weekend, the weekend after, CZW is doing their...
I think we have a caller. Let me check who it is, all right?
Let me have a caller. Fantastic. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, you know who it is.
Huh.
You know who exactly who it is.
Is that my favorite guy?
He's our favorite guy.
Okay. Well, I believe this is the leader of Pulp Fiction.
And let's say this right off the bat, man. The leader of Cult Fiction, but, man, Yakuza Kick is fucking CF to the death, man. Fuck that. J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction. And motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind when they're trying to
Absolutely.
Fucking throw my fucking skinny-ass fucking prairie nigger fucking ass under a fucking bus. Because this shit ain't going to fucking go down that way without a fucking fight. Now, this is what I want to do right here, right, okay? Yo, Toby, how my ass tastes. Toby, how my ass tastes. What the fuck kind of shit like that? I mean, I get it, Shaq and stuff, but, like, really, if you don't like a motherfucker, do you want him tossing your salad? I mean, I'd rather be, like... You know, like somebody I want down there, you know. So on that thing, let me ask you guys, jelly or maple syrup, man, which one?
Hey, man, that's not my steez.
Listen, man. Like, yo, check this out, because I got some shit. First of all, I want to be the voice of always, look, I'm always the alternative voice, okay? So... I ain't going to get in a big debate with you guys, but I just, before we get into my own obvious issues, there's no such fucking thing as assless chaps. I'm going to fucking explain this thing to the rest of the world for one more fucking time, okay? If chaps had an ass, they wouldn't be chaps. They would be called pants. If pants don't have an ass, there's no assless pants. If they have no ass, they're chaps. There is no such fucking thing as assless chaps because there's no such thing as chaps with an ass. Okay?
Only
God
a man that wears chaps
would
care to explain that.
Get your fucking shit straight. Fucking assless chaps. I'm fucking sick of this fucking improper fucking verbiage, man. Let's get the fucking English language back in order, man. You know, like, oh, wow, I didn't notice my pants didn't have an ass when I got dressed to go out to the ring today. You know what I mean? Like, wow, where'd my ass go? You know, I ask myself that every day. But listen, first of all, I want to just say this, and I want to harp on it, okay? Sean Waltman is a fucking awesome fucking guy, man. An awesome fucking dude. A person that treats everyone in this fucking business with fucking respect, and he treats every one of the fucking fans the same way. He's a sorely underrated fucking talent. That whole fucking CZW.
I don't think he's underrated. He's got his stuff too.
Listen, the Waltman Heat thing. The guy so doesn't deserve that. I think we should rename that DJ Heat or fucking Ian Heat. And listen, man. Seriously, I mean, when that whole thing happened, it was the birth of fucking CZW fans. Was that fucking Waltman shit when a bunch of fans got together and decided to make the show about themselves instead of about the performers in the ring, and it's been a huge detriment to the business, okay? And you know,
CZW fans is the biggest circle jerk in the fucking on the internet.
Hey, man, like, you know, look, even some of those motherfuckers, you know, I don't always agree. Some of them, you know, I wish they'd fucking have a conscience and they'd sometimes fucking know when to fucking lay off and realize that people are human beings, but. You know, like, whatever, man, floats your boat. We've been over this 100 times. Like, I don't like fucking goddamn fucking, you know, duck shows. So I don't fucking, you know, thoroughbred duck breeding. I don't go on fucking thoroughbred duck breeding websites 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, fucking flame duck breeders. I just don't fucking get it. If you don't fucking like it, then fucking stop talking about it. You fucking stupid shit. It really is the most,
I have two ducks, and I don't breed them.
Right.
But they're smarter than half the people on that board.
You know what I do? I fucking deep fry them, motherfucker, and put some fucking cayenne pepper with that shit. Listen, hey, look, I'm a fucking goddamn omnivore, man. I fucking eat animals, man, okay? Like, and I like them.
You didn't hang out with them.
So I love animals, too. But what I was going to say about Sean, and then I'll get into Joni, but really, man, understand something. You think about this guy who, you know, broke into the business and got such acclaim at such a young age. There's motherfuckers that are grown men that are 40 and 50 years old that still cannot, you know, handle the spotlight, the pressure. And it's really something, you know, you guys know me. You know, like, I've all my life been hanging around celebrities. I know a lot of really big names in the entertainment business. I count them among my friends the same way I do you guys. And I don't treat anybody any different. To me, I have no starstruck in me. People are people, and certain people do certain things. Some people work in a gas station, and some people are Robert De Niro, you know, and some people, you know, make the donuts, and other people are Tom Savini, you know what I mean? And so, I mean, there's an example. Tom is a friend of mine, you know, put me in his movie recently, like, you know, you see fans on message boards flaming him and saying how he was an asshole and they met him at a show. Well, you know, when you can't go anywhere in the world, and step on a street without someone go, hey, look, it's fucking Sex Machine from Talk Still Gone. And you can't have a moment's respite. And then on top of it, like, let's face it, man, a lot of people in this world do not have good social graces. They don't have manners. They don't have – recently I saw a video of another dear friend of mine, Serena Vincent, very close friend of mine. I love her dearly, and she's such a great person. And I've never known her to be anything but so – genteel and so kind and so, you know, there and open to people and so down to earth. And I see this video of these three fucking dweebs on fucking YouTube making a big issue about how someone fucking forced them to turn their camera off when they're filming her, okay? And, you know, in a lot of cultures in this world, and Native American culture among them, the Amish, I can keep going on, to photograph someone or film them without asking their permission first is just bad manners. It's no protocol. It's no social etiquette. And on top of it, these dicks are there just like, you know, gawking at her, like fucking making this video. So, yes, so they could go home and post it on YouTube, get their names out, and then plus, like, for their fucking spank material. They were fucking perverts, you know what I mean? They're fucking retarded motherfuckers who've never touched a woman that doesn't have a nozzle on her, that doesn't require three guys to inflate unless they have a fucking electric pump, you know? So, like, why is she wrong for going, okay, like, enough of this shit, you fucking scumbag, you know? And so what I was going to say about Sean and Joni and everything, look, man, you combine the spotlight with the fame, you know, and then income, substances. And look, substances are not just because of pressure. Substances, for how many generations of this world have substances been a social thing that happens and things that people experiment with, and we all know the pluses and the minuses and what can happen. So, you know, it's really easy for people to condemn them and look at these people that are in the spotlight and point out their every flaw and things like that. And I just think it's a real tragedy. And listen, man, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
Man, first of all,
but
the,
I mean,
the,
just
listen, listen,
as far as Sean.
As far as Sean,
like what I could say as far as that, like, you know, you said it yourself. Like, there's some shit you just don't need to go public with. Like, he can just call Joni, or if he's not on them terms anymore or whatever, he could just keep their shit to himself.
Right,
but
right.
To go
right.
public
no, I'm
and
not,
be like,
listen,
we were on hard drugs back then, and da 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 da.
Listen, I'm not saying the guy hasn't had his mistakes, and I'm not saying that he isn't bitter, but listen, we've all been in relationships and been in love with somebody. I mean, is anybody going to refute how in love with each other these two people were? So, of course, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of damage, and maybe, you know, there's hopefully a healing will happen for them. It seems that she's kind of put it in perspective a lot better than he has, and I know she doesn't wish him any harm, but, you know, he'll get on with himself, man, because he's a good dude, and you know, this is what I'm going to say about Joni, okay? Another person that I happen to know firsthand for a fact is such a great person, and it's taken so much, you know, for obvious reasons, the things that people go at her. No, that is not a dick, by the way. And I will tell you this. First of all, this backdoor in China thing is absolutely been proven to be a false thing. It is not happening. The company approached her about doing it. And
I was filmed already.
It. Listen, it was not filmed. There is no such fucking movie, okay? And if you, like I said, believe a bunch of fucking low-life, scummy fucking porn producers, or believe the leader of Cult Fiction, and in the end, we'll see who's telling the truth. It's not filmed. It's not coming out. They approached her. They made the offer. Of course she considered the offer. Why wouldn't she? And what's wrong with that? We live in a free society. What the fuck is wrong with porn? What the fuck is wrong with people doing what the fuck they want to do, especially for a paycheck? And I'm not saying you said it's wrong, but what I'm saying is, she did not make the movie. She did not make the deal. And then these guys just jumped out and jumped the gun.
I never really said it was wrong. I just said it's gross. I don't want to see China in porn.
People like supposed news journalists like these fucking, you know, tabloid fucking shows like Inside Edition and shit, like they picked this shit up and put it out there. What's no different? It's what's going on. But I'll put this out there. Okay, I will put this out there. Okay, it ain't the biggest, but it ain't the smallest. But if Joni really does want to make another porn film, I absolutely will do it with her. Okay, I like anybody that thinks that she's a man or that she's fucked up. Like, fuck that. I think she's an awesome person. I think she's totally attractive. I think she's got a great sense of humor. I think she's a fucking survivor, and I think she's a fucking sweetheart. And you know, for a couple bucks, man, throw it at me. I'll make that fucking movie. I'll do it on fucking live television tonight. You can fucking what's that, paper stream that fucking shit. And we can laugh all the way to the fucking bank together. That's what I got to say about that. Okay. I will gladly take more than one night in China, and I will be glad to have them. And you know what? This kind of fucking hater talk, I'm gonna explain how it affected me personally, because you know, the same kind of shit that people talk about with Joni's gender, and she's a girl, and she was someone's daughter, and she grew up a girl, and she is a girl, and she's got family, and she's got people that love her. People don't fucking care. Well, it's the same thing with Gaga and all this fucking shit about her and all this urban myth and everything. You know, the bottom line is people being mean and people not respecting, you know, that people have a personal life. Like when the shit, you know, when people found out about me and Gaga and what was going on with us, you know what I mean, and now they start fucking chanting this shit in the middle of the fucking arena in CZW, you know, she fucking broke up with me over that shit. And you know, and her breaking up with me, man, is something like really sucks, man, because we had a really good thing going, you know what I mean? And you know, I'm telling you, she was all woman, and, you know, just because of a bunch of hating motherfuckers got a fucking, you know, how low of a thing, you know, like what does who I'm fucking have to do with what I'm doing in a CZW ring? But the next thing you know, you got all these motherfuckers chanting Lady Gaga, Lady Gaga. You know, she gets wind of it, said, Billy, you aren't going to tell anybody. You know, she's mad.
I need to shoot Billy back.
She doesn't want to believe me, you know, and now it's cost me. You know, it's cost me. And now I am no longer poking her face. You know, and that shit is not right, man. You know what I mean? Like, when she's singing about bad romance, that shit was written about me, motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, and
of course.
It sucks, man.
But all bullshit aside, I mean, fucking, China took shitloads of steroids to grow her clit fucking huge, and that's just something that she caught fucking.
But I mean,
that's fine. I mean, that's just what happened.
But listen, was she taking the steroid? Yeah, but it didn't make her a man. Okay,
I never said she was a man.
Listen,
I just said that.
Look, I'm just saying. There's nothing wrong with jokes. I'm just saying. But listen, the bottom line is: did she take that fucking juice? Did she do it for any other reason? Than any other guy that was performing in the company, you know? Did she not entertain people? Did she not put
her body on the line? Oh, she definitely did. I said not that long ago that she belonged in the fucking Hall of Fame long before a lot of these other people.
And I believe that she will be someday.
I'm doing DP, so I hope you're right.
Listen, if me and her get together and do that movie together, man, like, That'll jump her right back to the forefront of the fucking Hall of Fame, man. Because you know what? First of all, she'll be in a legit Hall of Fame, and that's the Cult Fiction Hall of Fame, not this fucking contrived, fucking rigged, fucking WWE Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? The Cult Fiction Hall of Fame is a lot harder to get into. You know what I mean? And so is everybody in Cult Fiction, a lot harder than these motherfuckers putting out these false rumors about her. But,
So what else do you have to talk about, Billy?
I just wanted to, I'm always the alternative guy, and really, you know,
we're talking
I am not a fucking linear thinker, and I'm not a thinker of the mainstream, and I don't, you know, I don't condescend to anybody, you know what I mean? If I don't agree, I don't fucking agree. And that doesn't matter whether it's fucking like a woman I love or a fucking my friend, just like you said the other week when we were talking to Chuck, man. You don't have to agree. What the fuck is wrong with debate? What the fuck is wrong with anybody. You know, so, I mean, to me, just the fact that I am the fucking ultimate nonconformist, I have been, I always will be.
Oh.
I've never fucking sold the fuck out. And so I don't.
Right. So,
I just don't.
Speaking
just
of
don't
not agreeing.
Fucking fall in, yeah.
Let's talk some CZW.
Okay, can we? Okay, part of that. I mean, I know that Benny was supposed to be on tonight, and this is not at his sanctioning. I'm sure shit. Every time Billy Graham opens his mouth up, even people that are his friends probably go, "Oh no, shut the fuck up, dude." You know what I mean? Like, because the bottom line is, some people might not like what I have to say, but when I talk, people listen, and it's always going to have some kind of fucking fallout. But I mean, Benny did not ask me to do this, and Benny may even get mad at me for doing this. I don't know. I mean, I love the guy. I think that he is just such a stand-up person, a standout talent, is one of those real motherfuckers in this business. As far as the things that I heard were said, and let's face it, it's not like I haven't heard people running their mouth saying those things about the man behind his back while I'm, you know, changing into my assless chaps in the corner. I might add, once again, as is with me and as is with many things, motherfuckers that never had the balls or fuck balls, you know, let's get this macho shit out of the way. Just never had the integrity, the fortitude, or the maturity to address any issues they're having with someone man to man. All this shit with me is another example of that. But, I mean, when I first started attending CZW in 2005 with Toby and Dylan, you know, trying to get me a chance, and then others, you know, like, look, man, always Medge, shout out to the Blackout, Robbie, you know, Claude, like, Ruckus, like, just guys that, you know, became family to me and friends and saw my potential to contribute and, you know, accepted me as family, you know, that I didn't know, you know, with Toby and stuff, it's different, you know, like, we were brothers before he brought me to CZW, you know what I mean, but I met Robbie and Ruckus and those guys at CZW. They were CZW. And
so this is before it turned into Mark Brand, right?
They're stars in CZW. And they meet me and, hey, like, wow, we like this guy. You know, like, let's give him a chance. You know, like, we could get into this dude. He's down, you know. And so I only knew Benny to be the same way back then, you know, that I met him while being in the back there and trying to get my chance in. And, you know, I just respect his performance, and there's no debating – you know, how over with the fans he is and how much they appreciate his work. So when he first came back, while I was working there, it was in 2008, and I can go to a – I was talking to Jay about this, I think, earlier, but I can go to a – there was a night, I think it might have been – no. In fact, it was November of 2008. Deranged had come in to – he had done that thing where he ran in and attacked DJ Hyde, and that set up those guys for Cage of Death as with the fans bringing the weapons the next month. And Brain Damage was, of course, going into Cage of Death. So if you see, there was this two promos. I did one with each guy, one with Deranged and one with Brain Damage. The Deranged one was the one where I told DJ Hyde he better, you know, get his flowers, get his tombstone, say goodbye to his grandma and all that shit. And then right. Brain Damage talking about how he was going to have dessert with the $10,000 on top of the cage, and, you know, telling Blackout to stay out of our business and all that shit because they had done that run-in on Gage and Brain Damage. So I did those two promos with those guys, and Benny was standing there with a lot of guys in the locker room. And, you know, it was when he had first come back. And when I was done the promos, man, he stood up and started applauding me and caused other people to applaud me. And, you know, he turned around. And he's just like, bro, those were fucking awesome fucking promos. Like, you see this guy, you need to listen to him, man. Like, when he cuts a promo, this guy, Billy fucking is an ace promo guy. And, like, he adds so much to this company. And, like, and every time anything that went on or anything that he watched, and I didn't just see him do this with me. I saw him do it with all the young guys. I saw him do it with all the people in the company, you know, and really trying to be and understand something. Someone can proclaim themselves a leader in the locker room. They can proclaim themselves the head of the cell block or the head of the gang. They can proclaim themselves a fucking Indian chief, you know. They can make themselves, I'm the leader, you know. But, in fact, no one's a leader that nobody wants to follow. If people don't choose to follow someone, then they're not a fucking leader. It doesn't matter what title they put in front of their name. It doesn't matter what they own. And real leaders are not people that want to be the leader. This is just a tradition that hey, look at me, I want to be the fucking boss. In reality, 99 times out of 100, when someone's a leader, they're the last person that ever wanted to be the leader. It's a responsibility and it's a burden. It's falling on their shoulders because people respect them and look at them for answers, and they become a hub. So to me, you know, Benny is a guy that if someone is talking about him objecting to the way something is planned to go down, or something along that lines. I mean, why, with his experience and his knowledge and his being a team player, why should it be a reflection of him being some kind of selfish fucking person if he thinks what they're about to do is stupid? And this is the same kind of shit that, you know, I was trying to address with Devin, you know, when with me specifically, okay, when on one hand, I'm shutting my mouth, and I'm not saying anything to all the hundreds, and when I say hundreds, hundreds of Cult Fiction fans and supporters and CZW fans, people that spend their money on the tickets, on the DVDs, on the merchandise, okay, that for 5 months are hounding me. Like, when are you coming back to CZW, dude? When are they going to put Cult Fiction back together? And all I'm saying is, well, DJ has a plan. Be patient. I'm ready to go. We'll get to it, you know. And then what happens is the people – now, the things that have been said about me, three points, is, one, that I'm only out for myself. Two, that I don't get the business. And three, that I'm always running my mouth. And that go. Oh, wait, and four, that I've never been taught the business, okay? All four of these things are complete fucking lies. And I might add that let's start with the shutting your mouth thing, that while I was doing what I just said – you have certain individuals that are very key and influential in the situation. I won't even name them by name right now because, first of all, most of us know who the fuck they are. Are privately emailing and messaging fans.
Going to get blown up in a minute, so go ahead.
Privately messaging and emailing fans, telling them these lies about me. Okay,
yep.
While I'm shutting my mouth. So it's complete hypocrisy out the gate. As far as complaining. And once again, these are issues that if someone had a problem with me, what the fuck is the big deal about that? What if all those things were even true? Do they negate my contributions and what I've done for the team, first of all, there's nobody that's been through the door besides that handful of people that's been through the door my entire tenure involved in CZW or that's worked with me anywhere in the wrestling business, anywhere in the entertainment business, anywhere in the film business, anywhere in the music business, anywhere in the life business that will ever know me and say that Billy Graham is about himself. That is the biggest fucking crock of shit that anybody's ever put. I fucking was a team player in that fucking company. I did everything, and John Zandig himself, who put me there, who believed in my talents, has come forward and said that Billy Graham had a passion for this company, that put out and did more than was asked of him, did anything we needed of him, and did so much, and it's obvious that he has a passion and a love for CZW. He's a fan of the company, and he really fucking cares. The guy's all right by me. And so for that,
I got to jump in, dude. I agree wholeheartedly, and I can tell you that, you know, you have done tremendous things. I got to jump back because I wasn't able to talk. But, Benny, it's funny because it seemed like the second he left the business is the second that everybody had something bad to say. But
of course.
Because when he was here, everything was good. Right?
Well, except, well, I agree to the extent except that some of the same suspects were still, you know, doing what they do. And,
but it was mumbling until he left and they were screaming.
So, look, I'll give you an example. I said, Devin wants to say, Billy Graham does is go out and sit in the smoke parking lot and smoke a fucking cigarette. You know why I'm out in the parking lot smoking a fucking cigarette? Because you know what's going on in corners of the fucking goddamn dressing room with his clique?
I was up at Jersey Alco last weekend, blah, blah. You know what fucking homicide said? Blah, blah, blah. That ain't fucking right, cuz. You know, I try to tell him, man. You know what? I was up at Savage Show and blah, 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 blah. Well, I was out in fucking Milwaukee, and you know what fucking so-and-so said?
You know what I mean? Talking shit about all the motherfuckers that are straight up, okay, that any one of those men.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, right there, man. Homicide's always been a fucking, what a great influence in the business, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's like every guy that has got any kind of fucking, you know, Bull called it right when he stepped in and made a criticism of what was going on with the situation with Pulp Fiction with myself. You know, why could he have so few facts and understand very clearly what it was? So to say, no, it was always all good to Benny's face, of course. It was always all good to my fucking face, okay? But then you step away and these people that are supposed to be tough guys, that are scripted tough guys, they're supposed to be men, okay, and you walk away and they go off in their little corner like a bunch of fucking Iroquois people, we call it yagan. That means the chirping of birds, gossip, like women, like old mean old women sitting around in a fucking corner with their fucking pot stirring it. And so, yeah, I'm out in the fucking parking lot smoking up. You're damn right that everything was all good to Benny's fucking face. And you know what? Just like with anybody else, half of those faces that were shaking his hand and embracing him and smiling at him and complimenting him, half of those people were sincere, and I count myself among them, and that's why I'll speak up for the man right now. And those other people are the same petty, jealous, competitive, self-fucking marks who will point the finger at everybody fucking else, man.
I got to get these names out here because Dev said it himself, and I'll do my best at this, which is decent. But I think he said something along the lines of, "It's not just me and Drake, cuz. It's not just me, Drake. It's other guys in the locker room, too. It's the young guys, too, cuz." So, obviously, the main two people are him and Drake. Now, you got the world heavyweight champion and the longest-running champion in CZW history. So, that's what's out there. That's who the fuck is being talked about right now. And that's I mean, it's just God honest truth on what bullshit politics have got to go on to block out one of the best and fucking highest supported fucking stables that have ever fucking crossed through CZW. Blackout obviously is one of the tops. Fucking Cult Fiction, if they're not the fucking top, why were they the top heel faction and the heel faction in Cage of Death last year? Why were they that credible?
You know, like I said, Bull could see it plain as day, and it's the same kind of, like, okay, first of all, I can't stress this point enough that, you know, first of all, we covered this. Anybody that believes that Billy Graham's only out for himself, putting himself over, going into business for himself. That's fucking bullshit. Like, even the goddamn promo of me in front of the WWE building that everybody loves so much was used as ammunition against me. You're a heel. You can't do that. You know what? That fucking promo, doing that, right, is, first of all, was obviously not any copyright infringement. Okay, I know about what fair use is, and very obviously, if it was a copyright infringement, the WWE would have taken it down, and you can see it on YouTube right now. In fact, yeah. I happen to know that there are several friends of mine that work over at Titan, who I'm not going to name, that actually thought it was very neat, and one of them said, wow, reminds me of when DX went to WCW, and I said, that's exactly what inspired it, man, you know, fair, yeah. Right?
WWE isn't taking clips off of Botchamania either.
Yeah, that was used, don't even get me started on that. There was I got bigger fish to fry than that stupidity, you know what I mean? Like, you know, cut your own throat, you know what I mean? Sell, free advertising, cut your own throat. Like, no whole matches, no whole shows. But taking
right.
down promos and people's music videos and Botchmania is so self-defeating, it's fucking ridiculous. And somebody tells me I don't get the business, you know. Dylan Summers wouldn't have been in The Wrestler if it wasn't for Nicolas Cage seeing one of those music videos on fucking YouTube, okay? And neither would anybody else in CZW. An Academy Award winning film, okay, that could have been used as a windfall to help promote CZW, and the ball was dropped horribly with that, you know,
yes,
and
sure
I'm a person
was.
In the corner going, yo, you know, what the fuck are you guys doing here? You're missing an opportunity, you know, and so...
Yeah.
God forbid I should suggest anything, you know, and now I'm a self-mark. But that promo, you know, while it was being used that I didn't know how to be a heel and went in business for myself, I mean, it seemed to me I was still threatening the faces. And look, once again, we are not heels, we are not faces, we are hard faces. This is a really hard concept to get in 2011, that when you're running a show that's got the most insane wrestling in the country in it, and the entire arena is so quiet that you can hear a pin drop, that when someone decided to book Cult Fiction as the main heel faction, okay, it was a premeditated move, and that move was that they knew that half of the crowd was going to fucking boo us, and half the crowd was going to cheer for us, just like the Horsemen or NWO, and guess what that means? That means there's some noise in the motherfucking
reaction.
Room, people. You know, so we work as heels, we behave like heels. If I see you in the front row with a Cult Fiction shirt on, why am I going to fucking put you down? You're down with us.
Right,
why the fuck
right.
am I going to do that? This other motherfucker here calling me fucking Lady Gaga, skinny faggot motherfucker. So you guys have been at the shows. Somebody trying to tell me I didn't have heel heat at fucking Cage of Death is fucking retarded, okay? Retarded. The whole South Side wanted to fucking lynch me, okay? Get the fuck out of here. And so that promo created a news story that was picked up on every wrestling news source, you know, on the internet, including the BBC covered it. And you know what? The headline of that, and the bottom line is, I'm sorry, but that promo I did got more news and internet coverage than Cage of Death did. It did. Okay? So that's a reason you get, no, because you know what? The headline on that story did not say Billy Graham, selfish, self-mark, non-team player, and superstar of Cult Fiction, steals the show. What the headline read all over the world was CZW star and musician teases bringing stable to WWE. It did not say Cult Fiction. It didn't say Billy Graham. It said CZ motherfucking W. So how the fuck did I hurt the fucking company? How the fuck was I in business for myself, okay? Now, second point about talking shit, well, I guess I'm making my point, because I'm shutting my fucking mouth, and you have people in the locker room that not publicly, well, they're throwing me under the bus to an extent publicly, but then they're privately emailing and messaging fans and telling them these lies about me while they're calling me a shit talker. Okay, the biggest lie among the other ones, I'll say this publicly right fucking now, and if somebody doesn't fucking believe me, then you go talk to the man face to face, not what some other motherfucker is telling you. I'm a self-mark, I'm not a team player, I'm always whining and complaining, and I don't get the business and wasn't trained in the business, is these motherfuckers saying that fucking, 13... on a side note, and Masada in particular don't want to be in Cult Fiction, and that Masada doesn't want to work with me. Okay? That's a fucking lie. That's a fucking lie, and quite the opposite has been fucking expressed by him. Okay, and somebody doesn't believe me, please, go up to my brother, ask him face-to-face whether he would like to have me in his corner, whether he would like to be a part of Cult Fiction, or whether he wouldn't, and he will tell you the fucking truth. Okay, because lying on him is part of what these motherfuckers have done. Okay, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to call any more specifics. I'm not naming anybody by name. And you know what? If the motherfucking moccasin fits, wear it. Fucking wear it. And you know what? Far be it that a bunch of grown men could learn to, with sincerity and with humility, say, wow, you know what? I made a fucking mistake. What am I thinking? I'm not acting right. You know what? I need to fucking make amends for this. I need to fucking apologize, you know, and say that I acted wrong instead of still pointing the finger, making somebody else.
Well, yeah, that's how
the
I see Dev works.
You know, and so the bottom line is that Cult Fiction is not just a wrestling gimmick. It is a family, and it is a family that does not include 13 trained people who have been in the professional wrestling business, okay? It extends to every single person who supports us, who is entertained by us, who either have a T-shirt, you don't, it doesn't matter, okay? The amount, and I'll tell you what busted this shit open in the last 2 weeks was not me opening my mouth. I am not the fucking leader of the reaction from the fans that you're seeing happening right now. I'm not the leader of their incessant demands to see myself and the rest of Cult Fiction return to the spotlight in CZW, okay? They are the fans. They are the people that spend their money on tickets and DVDs. They are the ones that decide what entertains them and what doesn't. They are the people that have decided for some reason that the Cult Fiction gimmick, the Cult Fiction angle, the Cult Fiction stable, the Cult Fiction family, and yes, even Billy Graham, the skinny fucking shit-talking manager who doesn't know how to get fucking thrown 25 feet through the fucking air, is something that they like, that when they pay their fucking money, yeah, I entertain them. They enjoy what I have to contribute and what I have to offer. So who cares if somebody in that fucking back room doesn't want to be my best fucking friend? Are they so fucking insecure? Are they such a fucking hypocrite that they will cut their own nose off to spite their own fucking face? Okay, because if they don't realize that what they've done, and the reason, like I was, what I was going to say is the reason this all busted open in public right now is not because of something that Billy Graham did. It's not because I can't shut my mouth. It's not because I'm running my mouth talking shit. It's not because I'm stirring the pot. It's for two simple reasons, that several of these individuals went and fucking had to privately message fans who took great exception to it and who said, wait a minute, these are the fucking guys who are running their mouth. These are the guys who are full of shit. We see what they're doing to Cult Fiction. We see what they're doing to fucking Billy. Wow, they're really fucking weak. They suck.
Right.
You know, hey, Billy, do you know what these fucking people are doing? And then I'm getting fucking emails forwarded to me going, holy fuck, can you believe this shit? And
you know,
on
you
top
know
of it, on top of
well,
him, Seven Shoot. You know, Seven Shoot. Him saying those things publicly, this is what caused this all to come out to the open. And you know what they did in the long run? They didn't fucking hurt me. I'm bummed out that I'm not on the show. I'm bummed out that I don't have that release. I'm bummed out that I'm not given the opportunity to come out and entertain everybody anymore. I'm bummed out that I'm not there to enhance and help support CZW, make the show better, and help build the company, okay? But you know who they hurt with their fucking actions in the long run? They hurt the fucking fans. They hurt themselves. They hurt the content of the overall show. They hurt the draw. They hurt the sales on the DVD. And you know what? They hurt their cash box. So they fucking hurt me? I got a fucking life, man. I got 3 movies coming out. I'm casting 5 more. I'm getting ready to make a new fucking Night of Living Dead documentary with my fucking partner. I just got interviewed for 3 more fucking documentaries. They don't fucking own the wrestling business. I can work in the wrestling business anytime I fucking want to. I chose to fucking to be dedicated to fucking CZ fucking W, man. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's fucking taken for granted, and I'm fucking made a laughing stock for it.
Well, I got to say my piece here. First off, you know, I mean, the guys, the Drakes, the, you know, and Dev, I really think really, like, said his piece to say that, you know, he didn't mean half of what he said. I obviously, controversy sells. So when
like
it comes
that,
down to
man.
His DVD, I kind of think that he said a lot of things that he didn't really realize the repercussions, and he really didn't realize, like, what feelings were going to be hurt, and what was actually the repercussions, like I said, what was going to come off of it. However, there's other people that are sideline hating, and Drake, I've always been a huge fan of, and I've always been, like, you know, it's kind of like a fan-friend thing, because I don't know to do personally other than wrestling, but I've always tried to be a real, real peaceful dude with him, but he's doing a lot of sideline hating that I don't respect, and I don't respect at all. I think that type of shit, I don't like politicians, and when it becomes like, you know, your favorite form of entertainment is being politicked by someone who you thought you really respected, I mean, it's a terrible fucking thing. So a couple things that I like to put out to the fans that are, they're huge Cult Fiction fans, which who isn't, you know? First off, start wearing your fucking shirts. Make sure your fucking shirts is out there. Make sure there's more fucking Cult Fiction shirts in the fucking CZW crowd than there are CZW shirts. Make sure that you're out there. If you want to support, that's not a problem. I continue to support. However, show up with your Cult Fiction shirts. You'll see me fucking front row 2 weeks from fucking now, a week and a half, whatever it is. Cult Fictioned out, and keep showing your support. And those people who fucking backline, fucking back sideline, fucking hate, they're going to have to sit there and eat that shit. It's not a Drake Younger shirt, and it's not a CZW shirt. It damn sure not a DJ Hyde shirt. Unless you fucking comp tickets to get into the fucking building. But that came with a t-shirt. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we need to show fucking support. And bottom line is, in the end, maybe Cult Fiction won't get back in. Maybe Billy won't get back in. But it'll be very clear that the fans want it. And you know, in the end, that's what it is. I mean, it's just...
If John Zandig ran this company, Cult Fiction would be back.
He didn't allow other people to run his company. He ran his fucking company. And this
right.
is what's happening. Other people are allowed to run his company.
Look, the bottom line is that John Zandig is the one that believed in my talents and kept me around and has said these nice things about me. So obviously what Eric just said is true, but he also, you know, came to me and said one day, he said, you know, listen, Bill, he said, you've done so much, you know, to be a team player. I really appreciate it, bro. And he said, listen, man, as long as you and Brain Damage ever want to be a part of CZW, you always have a place in CZW. Well, the day after the show where it was revealed that DJ had bought the company from John, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, the day after the show, I wasn't at that show because we were doing a thing where we were pulling back and all, and I was just reading about it on the boards and all, and that next morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, DJ Hyde called me on the phone and said, listen, man, I said, what's going on? Do I got a gig? Or he said, listen, man, you know John always had a policy that as long as you and Brain Damage ever wanted to be a part of CZW, as long as Cult Fiction wanted to be a part of CZW, you would always have a place here. He goes, well, that's not changing. I agree, and that's my policy too. But now people are being privately told because these four individuals, and one of them an outright lie, okay, as I've covered. And that's as far as I'm concerned, that's premeditated divide and conquer. And the Cult Fiction will never be divided or conquered by any fucking promoter, by any motherfucker trying to stick his nose in between what is a real brotherhood. It won't, okay? I don't care. You know, we will be Cult Fiction beyond any fucking promotion, beyond our years in the squared circle. Cult Fiction will always be Cult Fiction, you know? And there's a lot of other things that are going to happen for us. I mean, there's a filmmaker that's very credible that's recently approached me about doing a documentary about Cult Fiction, you know, and that it will be just the story of all of us who've been involved, you know, so it'll be about Toby Klein, Deranged, Brain Damage, Masada, 13, myself, JC, you know, and you know, of course, anybody else who's had the brief, even if it's been a brief thing, whether it was a one weekend thing like Tracy Smile. I mean, like even there, like look with Tracy, I mean, it wasn't just a whim, and then like I mean, we had intentions of working that with Tracy much more, and certainly in the future, if we could, we would. You know, so it's like there's just things going on for us, and you know, if it, I'll tell you what, you brought that up about maybe we won't get back in. Well, it would certainly seem, you know, that the cards are stacked against it when individuals that are in control are pulling this kind of like really reprehensible, you know, fucking premeditated, you know, this is a premeditated plan that started last September, and I know it for a fact, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but, you know, the plan to bury and erase and minimize and, you know, destroy Cult Fiction was not something that happened in the last 2 weeks, okay? It's not something that happened since I fell off Cage of Death. It was a plan that was fucking in place. It was a conspiracy, man, of a few individuals, you know, but oh my God, I'm nuts, right? You know, it's went down, but listen, you know, I've had the question. I've had people ask me outright. I've been messaged multiple times with people with brains on their shoulder going, Billy, why in the fuck would you even consider going back to CZW? Why the fuck would you even want to be part of a company where you've been treated this way?
Right.
It's falling
right.
apart anyway. Well, you know, I got, you know, it's hard to argue with part of the logic, okay? But in answer to that, what I'd say, number one, is because my ego isn't big, okay? I do know how to forgive people. I do know how to you know, not carry a grudge. And I believe that, you know, people can make amends for their wrongdoing if they just fucking come clean and say, hey, let's wipe the slate clean. And let's have a clean start, you know. And why? Well, you know, I you know, Masada and I were talking about this the other day about what the issue is with some of these people, right? While some of them are saying that Billy Graham was not trained in the wrestling business or doesn't get the wrestling business, Billy Graham was in the Monster Factory while some of them were in grade school and some of them were even in their diapers, okay? And so Masada, among several other people, Bull Payne, Delby Klein, have come, even Lane, who's on the chat right now. Hey, Lane, what's up, brother? Have come forward and said
Big
that they do not
Lane.
Agree. They do not concur that Billy Graham does not understand the wrestling business. And maybe it's not Billy Graham that doesn't understand the wrestling business. Maybe it's a bunch of young guys who it only took them 2 years before they were wrestling and only 5 years before they were a name in the business. Maybe it's them that don't get it.
Maybe it's the Queen of Markland. I don't know.
Fuck
that
Markland. So I would say, why would I want to go back? Because, you know, it didn't take me 3 years to get in CZW. Okay, it took me 15 years. And it didn't, you know, and like I said, not a guy who's ever going to be the champion, ever win a match.
Right.
Okay, real, you know, is ever going to get rich. I'm not going to buy a car looking for CZW, you know. So what's my real motivation? I mean, my spot can never be any more than what it is.
You're not going to try to be from manager to world champion. You're fucking being what you're signed up to be.
You have passion for the wrestling business. And you have passion
for keeping indie wrestling strong and so that there is an alternative to the mainstream.
Yeah,
you know?
Look at, I mean, and let's be honest with you. I mean, let's be honest with each other. Cult Fiction is different than anything out there. Let's be real with each other. It's completely different. And you know indie wrestling is the same fucking shit every fucking day. Oh, let me do a moonsault. Let me do this. Let me do that. It is fucking getting boring to the fact that it is getting to the point, Billy, that I fucking, you know, I fucking
Eric
don't even
barely shows up. He fell asleep on last week's show.
No. This is what pisses me off.
All you got to do is look at my littlest dog with the biggest bite, 13. Okay.
He just got a recent promo. I don't know if you've seen that. But he said Cult Fiction is gone.
Well, do you think that was his idea?
No, absolutely not. Whatsoever. I'm just saying it. Like, it's another thing that got put out there.
Yeah, of course it did. I knew it was coming way before it came out because it was what the script was that was handed to him. And you know, but what I'm trying to say is that, okay, and he busted his balls last year, man. Okay, he gave 100% in every single fucking match. Okay, he was like the Cult Fiction version of Shawn Michaels at Cage of Death. Okay, you know, but you combine some things of, like, did he not have that same talent, you know, for years as Lucky? You know, and
for anyone to
not see, for anyone to not see that him working with me as his manager and him working as a member of the Cult Fiction group, if that wasn't proof that it's a vehicle to also, to not just be like an ultraviolent four horseman, that it can bring other people up.
Yeah.
You know, look, the proof's in the fucking pudding. I don't care. And as far as, like, you know, I'm going to say this again. I don't give a fuck if DJ fucking hands him a script that says Billy Graham sucks dick and I hate his fucking guts. That's not what's going on in real life between me and 13, okay? And that's not what's going on between him and fucking Cult Fiction. And look, man, the kids work for a really, really long time. There's jobs opening up to them. I don't begrudge him taking the payday and taking the spot and teaming up with Danny Havoc in any way, shape, or form.
And
guess what? Every time he walks out there, no matter what he says, there's nobody that can stop anybody from yelling Cult Fiction at him when he walks by. And if you think he's not going to fucking smile about it, or he's not going to, you know, cut me a break, man.
I mean, you can tell the fucking script is garbage because, like, you look at the shit and the dude is going, hey, you know, Danny Havoc's going, what is the catch? You were down with Cult Fiction last year. No, he didn't even say that. I think the name only came up once, but he goes,
they gotta say it
you
as
know,
few times as possible. You're trying to erase all memory of it, you know?
They were like, you were a bad guy last year. You were all against me last year. What was up with that? What's the catch? Why are you even trying to help me? And he's like, oh, maybe there is a catch. And then he goes, no, Danny goes, well, what, do you want to be a tournament of death? He goes, no, you guys are crazy. Then he goes, I want your title. Well, the problem with that is the title's the deathmatch title that he beat Jun Kasai.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what do you mean you guys are crazy? No, I want your deathmatch title. Like, what the fuck is wrong with that picture?
If they had any brains, they'd put that belt on the side and it wouldn't go anywhere for fucking 16 fucking months, and then that title would fucking mean something.
God, fucking shit.
16 months.
I mean,
they
even Danny beating fucking
Duke Asai, Brother Masada for 16 motherfucking months. Because guess what? Handing this title to overseas and to has done what
oh, yeah.
to build? How has that built CZW or built the reputation of that belt, or has it built other people's companies and put their guys up? It's the same reason why John Zandig listened to his own words, why he said, you know what, I've had it with this cross promotional shit. Because every time John Zandig went into a cross promotion with another promotion, it promoted that other promotion and it buried CZW and fucking talent was raided out of his locker room. That's the only thing that happened, you know what I mean? And so, to me, I mean, look, I like WXW a bit. I love Big Japan Pro Wrestling. Love it. Love it. I am a fan of BJW. I am. I'm a huge mark for it.
Yeah, me too.
I think that bottom line is, man, that guys should be going over there working for Big Japan as their own self. I mean, CZW doesn't buy anybody a house. It doesn't pay anyone's mortgage. I mean, why should somebody, you know, and look how you'll get done in the end if you're not going to suck someone's fucking ass and be part of a fucking little fucking clique of fucking paranoid fucking everything they fucking said about me. Self-mark, always wanted. The idea of a couple of these guys saying that Billy Graham whines and complains every time he doesn't get his own way. I'll tell publicly the four times I fucking complained about not getting things my own way, four times in 4 years in CZW. And I'll tell you, not once did one of those times come while John Zandig was running the company. Okay? Yep. First time I fucking complained was when and I don't get wrestling, right? But this is basic psychology 101. This is from Killer Kowalski. This is from fucking Oxbaker. This is from anybody in the business, from Dusty Rhodes to anybody that knows what they're doing. Okay, Cult Fiction of the Heels, right?
Yeah.
Now, somebody was running the book, and we were winning, and we were dominating the way the heels should be in this year-long feud, right? And then we came up with a thing where, you know, I'm going to do the thing where I quit the company and all this other stuff, okay? Now, two things. If a heel, it doesn't matter who wins, okay? This is a work, okay? And so I know some of these guys have trouble, you know, keeping that in mind because they believe their own shit. They don't become the real guy. The only way they can act like said wrestler is to be said wrestler 24/7 fucking for the rest of their life. But in other words, if a heel that's supposed to be the dominating heels, okay, if we get pinned clean, 1, 2, 3, there's no, you're not going to damage the heat by that. However, says Oxbaker 101, if you are the heel and you take that pinfall from the babyface before the blowout of the feud, after you lose in the pinfall, you must beat the faces up.
Yeah.
Okay, in other words, so all of a sudden I got JC and 13 getting pinned. I've got Brain Damage getting pinned. I've got Masada getting pinned. And we're being told to walk away. And I'm like, wait a minute. Okay? You're killing us. You're killing our fucking heat. That's not about putting Billy Graham over, okay? That's about what's good for the fucking fans. It's about what's good for the company. It's about what's good for our opponents to make them look better, okay? And so, in other words, okay, you pin fucking Cult Fiction, then Cult Fiction beats your fucking ass, and now nothing's resolved. And now you want to come back for the next installment next month because you want to see Cult Fiction get their asses kicked. Or maybe you want to see those pretty boys get their asses kicked. You know what I mean? But
yeah. The
bottom line is, other than that thing, so yes, I complained about my guys losing clean and then walking away. Like, wow, what scary guys we are. 1, 2, 3, oh, we lost. Let's go cry. That's not Cult Fiction. Okay? So I don't know how that was about me. Okay? Because it wasn't putting me over, quote unquote. Secondly, we were supposed to do the thing where I quit, you know, they lose while I'm gone, and then I come back in, right, and I was supposed to, that second month when they lose, I was supposed to run in disguise, you know, I can specifically say, I think it was supposed to be Brain Damage and Scotty Vortex. I was supposed to run in disguise,
right.
Clobber fucking Scotty with something. Brain Damage gets the win, the reveal, oh my God, it's fucking asshole Billy Graham, he didn't quit, he didn't go anywhere, look what he just did. And
right.
Then the way the original plan was, under the original man that was booking that had left, was that then Cult Fiction would go on to win every motherfucking match again until Cage of Death, when the fucking faces beat our asses and kill us.
Right.
Again. Okay.
Of course, and that makes sense. That's a good
booking. Now, this is a double-edged one. So no, what instead happened was that from the moment that DJ took over the book until Cage of Death, Cult Fiction lost every single fucking match except for Night of Infamy. Every single match. They killed our fucking heat, okay? They killed the heat in the feud. There was no agreement in any way made no priority. There was more time spent on talking shit about going to WXW than fucking promoting Cage of Death.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay? They killed it. And then, so, yeah, I complained about that. I said, what are you doing? Okay? That's number two. Okay? Now, number three, okay, is when, you know, we did the thing in August when I came back, but no, Brain Damage doesn't win. But I go out there and I smack around 13 and I smack the shit out of fucking Brain Damage. You know, I'm the boss. Fuck you guys. You know, fuck him up. Yeah, it ain't going to happen. So the plan was in September at the Cash Show for me to come out and fucking do the same thing to Masada.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, brother had passed. Okay?
Yeah.
Tell you the truth, I didn't even want to be in the motherfucking building. Okay? And anybody anybody that was present that night knows what condition I was in when we had to come out there at the beginning of the show.
Yes, sir.
And thank you to Masada and 13 and Bruce Purcell and Robbie Moreno for taking care of me out there then and kind of getting around me and blocking me from the cameras and the people. And you know,
it was hard,
never,
man. When people pass, I don't even want to go to shows. It's so hard.
Right.
It's,
and
it's
so,
like,
you know,
you support,
I went in, and listen, I'm not saying anything fucked up right now because Joe Bailey and I and JC's fiance and all his family and I have talked about this at length. Okay, I just haven't really went into detail in public till now. And the thing is, okay, I come in for this show, and here it is, the same script we had before Bro passed. And Masada and I are like, this is fucking stupid. Like, what do you, wait a minute. Like, the script has to change. Like, you know, JC has passed away, you know. I went to those in charge and said, look, man, this is bullshit. Like, CZW is not the WWE. And fuck, let's face it, even the WWE, when somebody passes, 9 times out of 10, they break kayfabe for a couple minutes at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Right? Heels and faces standing next to one another.
Yeah.
Okay? And they've certainly got a much more...
A guy is dead, a guy is dead. Fuck the kayfabe.
Right, okay, so I
I'm about
those,
fuck the kayfabe anyway.
Listen,
if
any fans, you're hearing what I'm saying right now, you tell me where I was wrong in this logic. I went in and I said, look, this is what I think we should do. I said, it's really fucked up to be here putting on this fucking wrestling show. You know, I'm like, how about if DJ and Maven go out to the ring, tell Smart Mark to turn the cameras off, tell all the fans, please respect, we don't want to have any pictures right now, and call Drake and me out to the ring. And let us just be ourselves and have a talk with everybody like family, you know, and say, hey, look, man, you know, like, JC was the heart of this. You know, JC gave his life to this. Like, he would not want us to fucking quit. Like, why don't we do that at the beginning? I got jumped. I got chastised. I got told, quote unquote, you're not going to make JC's death into an angle. This isn't about you. And I'm looking at them like they're from fucking outer space. Like, first of all, I'm hurt and I'm pissed off that they would even suggest such a stupid thing. I've been on the phone with JC's family every day. Joe had me make the 2 public statements about what had went on with his death and the cause at his request, not me doing anything on my own. And Joe fully expected me to say something that night. And so I'm told I can't do anything. And I'm told, no, fuck you, follow the script. Well, that part's history, you know. I went out in the fucking ring. I got in the ring. I teased for a second like I was going to follow the script, and then I turned around and said, I ain't going to fucking do this.
Yeah.
You expect me to come out here? You can buy the DVD, 2010, Down with the Sickness, people. You can watch this moment. I said, you know what? People expect me to come out here and act like nothing's happened. Well, something has
happened. SmartMarkVideo.com.
Right, SmartMark, shout out. And I can't do that, okay? So, you know, I'm sorry that I believe that we all know each other well enough, that the fans know us well enough, that those buying the DVDs worldwide feel connected enough to us to know, you know, that to order me to go out and be the retarded heel manager faggot motherfucker and act like nothing has happened, I think it was abominable. I think it was reprehensible. I think it was outright psychological abuse on me personally, you know, to try to force me to do that. And with what intent? Well, ultimately, I think that would have served the purpose of making me look like a real douche who didn't give a fuck about my friend. You know, like, how could Billy come? Who that supports Cult Fiction, all you people out there, okay, would have thought it was cool of me to come out there and not address that JC had passed away? You know, and so I did that. And then I also, you know, kind of put Masada over because I felt that he was being disrespected, you know, politically in this situation. And I will tell
you
that I know for a fact that that night when I refused to follow that script, even though I even stayed behind the arena that night till every other single person had left. And DJ was the only one in the building, and I went back in the building by myself, and we were the only 2 motherfuckers in that arena. And I said, DJ, listen, man, I apologize. I do not apologize for following my conscience, but I want you to know I did not do that because I don't respect that you're the boss. I did not do that because I don't respect that this is your company. Okay, I got to look at my face in the mirror for the rest of my fucking life, okay?
Pause for a second, Billy. I just got to let everybody know, listen to live. We're about to go to archive in a few minutes. As always with Billy, we do go over, and we will be available on the download So we go a whole another hour. We have a whole more time. And Billy,
everybody, please check
go
it out.
Go right ahead.
Everybody.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Lane, I see you in the chat there, man. Yeah, please, bro, I want you to listen to the rest of the hour of this, man, and all you people in the chat, man. Like, please, Nicole, everybody, Toby, like, I would like you guys
yeah,
to
love
hear
all
the rest
you
of this
fucking
talk
y'all,
now that we're getting
shit.
It out. You know what I mean? Brent, Maddie, and I don't know what F it is, but whatever you are, F it, and guest 9696, you know, whatever.
Right,
you know, every time
everybody.
I see you. Every time I see a mystery name, I think it's a company spy, like as if it's necessary.
Oh, we have company spies. Believe me, we have company spies.
I'm always
going to
put you
do.
Over, Lane. What are you kidding me, Lane? And Lane Jackson, I'm going to put him over, man. I don't have to put you over, motherfucker. You're your own best advertisement, man. And you ain't retiring from shit, motherfucker, just so you know that. Sooner or later, you will be lacing up the boots. And you can bet me publicly if I'm lying. So you just keep your ass in shape, buddy.
Calling him out, yeah. I did want to see that Mr. Insanity versus Insane Lane for the insane name. I did want to see that, but.
Oh, Brent Maddie says thanks for pronouncing his name right. Well, dude, your name isn't supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, man.
Yeah,
how can you say
yeah.
Brent Maddie wrong? You know.
Oh, he's awesome. That dude is fucking great. But
no, he's
got
to be cool. I just don't understand how some retard fucking. Oh, I know. Like, suggestfully. I suggest it might have been not me.
You know what, Dave? Like, I was saying before, like, you know, before I got cut off and some of that. But, like, I follow indie wrestling, like, nowadays a little bit. Like, I used to be hardcore indie wrestling, you know, got all these DVDs. I just don't do shit anymore. I just feel like I'll do the research. I'll watch the good stuff. But I just it seems like everybody's the same nowadays. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Cole,
no, I agree.
Cole Fiction
is quite fucking unique.
That's the only thing that's unique. You know what I'm saying? Like everything else is the same shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, there's some different things out there, but Cult Fiction is definitely one of those things that's a staple. That actually, like, you know, they put out good promos, they put out good fucking wrestling, they bring different characters into the ring that isn't your cookie-cutter fucking wrestler. And that's very important to make this shit interesting.
I think another thing that's really important, that's really, really visible, because I see people that aren't even fans of the product that I turn on to it, stuff like that. And they'll watch things. And, I mean, Joe Bailey has said the same thing on numerous occasions, but I think one of the reasons that we connect is because what our standard is of who we let in that clique, and that it's not just scripted, you know, that, you know, there's been a bunch of guys that promoters have tried to say, well, we're going to put this guy in Cult Fiction. I'm like, nah, you're not. And
right.
I think that what happens is I think that the fans, there's certain things that go without words and go without saying. There's certain feelings that people have, and I think that a lot of the fans, when they see us and they see all of us working together, I mean, and you know, once again, not just me. I mean, in any combination that we've had, if you don't see the chemistry between Brain Damage and Deranged, or the chemistry between Deranged and Toby, or the chemistry between, let's face it, if you don't think that, like, say the lineup last year in CZW, if you didn't see the same chemistry that there was between with me with each guy, with each other, that Brain Damage and Masada had the chemistry with each other. Brain Damage and JC had the chemistry with each other. 13 and Brain Damage had it. Masada and 13 had it. JC and 13 had it. JC and Masada had it. You know, that, and the reason is it's a real brotherhood. It's a real certain standard that we have of what our ethic is, that we're all good guys. That we're not out there to fuck anybody, okay? We're not out there to fucking be the big shits. We're not out there to fucking be selfish and have a fucking ego. We're out there to go fucking 100% and, you know, and give the fans something unique. And we, you know, fuck, man, we're believable. You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's,
oh,
come on,
definitely.
Man. There's people that do this shit, and, like, God bless them, man. We all can't be the same, but come on, man. There's nobody that's – there's people that fucking – you know, when they see us doing our thing, our characters do what we're supposed to do. You forget who you are You forget where you are. You're immersed in the performance that we're giving. You can believe that I'm the leader of this fucking wacky cult of fucking serial killers. You know what I mean? And I mean, what's so hard to understand about that? But you can see that there's a certain love and respect that.
So when I'm bored off my ass off of DJ being a heel or face, you're saying that that's not accurate.
It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. I mean, you know,
well,
it's like I said, you know, like look, man, it must be a hard thing to resist when you run the show to not put yourself over while you're talking about how selfish other people are. I mean, but
probably. I just at this point, like he's actually now, like you know, as a heel before, like okay, yeah, we hate you. You just do what you're doing. Inject yourself in the fucking main events. We don't like it, and you're a heel, so you see that as fucking like good popularity as a heel or whatever the fuck. Now. He's going even further, and now he's a heel, and he's going, I'm the most influential person in the business. I am the most powerful man in the wrestling business, and that just makes me want to never show up again.
Seriously? I'll tell you what. I thought that promo he cut for this show was just, I mean, sorry, DJ, man, but I thought your promo was fucking atrocious. I thought it was terrible. I didn't believe it for a minute. Did anybody believe what he said?
Oh, just made me want to throw up.
And also, I got to say this, and I don't care what I'm not Mr. PC, and I am not easily offended, but while other people are thinking it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, like, I did not like what happened at the end of Scotty Vortex's promo. I took offense to it. I do.
Scotty's promo?
Yeah. I don't think that fucking a white boy fucking using the word nigga is fucking anything cute. I don't. Okay.
Yeah. I use it quite often, but
guess what? Listen, Jay, when you're doing it, it's probably with somebody that you know, okay?
I'll say Chinese niggas, white niggas.
I'll tell you what, this right now. I'll tell you this. I can solve this problem right now as far as a debate, right? That number one, if Scotty Vortex came up to my res and said that fucking word and yelled that word out, where would he be? And I'll tell you what, how about this? How about after everybody's done the CZW show on Saturday night, how about Scotty goes down with his gang of street motherfuckers, bitches,
street
and goes down
thugs,
to South
yeah.
Street. Listen, right after...
Take that long hair four blocks right, over and start shouting that word.
Right after CZW's over, hop in the fucking car, book down to South Street, go down to the fucking 4th and South, get your nice cheesesteak at Jim's Steaks, walk out on the sidewalk on South Street, and drop an M-bomb.
I agree.
And that's why...
I said it's in different contexts
and
different
what,
crowds.
Me and my, me and my friends say that shit to each other, too. Okay, we say that shit to each other, too. But what I'm talking about is somebody saying, I don't get business. Okay? How can a business put that promo out for the public, for the world to consume?
I understand, man.
Do you know how many people just got turned off to CZW and laughed at it because of that fucking promo? I disagreed, and I wouldn't go out and not acknowledge my dead friend. I'm not a good little fucking ant worker. You know, I didn't fucking kiss the fucking man's ass and just fucking follow mindlessly without a fucking conscience or a brain, right? So how did that
the bottom line is fucking...
Doesn't that make him look bad, though? Doesn't that make Scotty look bad, not the company?
It's not only that. He seemed, and other people have said this to me, he seemed horribly uncomfortable saying it. It didn't just flow.
It was like he was put up to it the same way that
13 is commanded to slide called fiction. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, you know what? Go out there and shock everybody and say nigga. You know what I mean?
You know what the problem is though? These guys, they can't. I mean, it would be easy to say, hey, you know, leave the company if you don't like it. But here's the thing, though. And people, you know, I see a lot of people on the message boards, and they're not understanding it. What other companies are there out there
Exactly. Exactly. What the fuck am I gonna? Where am I supposed to? People are messaging me every day. I was starting to say that about my answer about you
Indians
know,
are scarce. Fucking Fat Frank is fucking packing it up.
Yeah, he hasn't run a show in 2010. He hasn't run a show all year.
But
yeah.
I mean, guys, I was trying to earlier when I was talking about you know the thing of why would I want to go back there? Okay. Well, first of all, and this ties to what I was just saying about the ethic with cult fiction. Okay. Cult Fiction might have not been CZW originals, okay? I wasn't there, okay? But you can go back to some of my earliest promos when I was hyping Necro and Toby into Cage of Death in 2007, and I did my speech about the men who built CZW, you know, Wifebeater, Nick Gage, Zandig, Mondo, Lobo, right? And I think this is one of the other reasons why I think the other reason John acknowledged this about me is that one of Cult Fiction's, you know, mantras and keys and rules of operation is that we always kept the legacy of CZW and the memory of those people who gave us that opportunity at the forefront of what we were doing, okay? We are not about, you know, turning it into a comedy show. We were not about turning it into a fucking, you know, match for the midget championship of the world. You know what I mean? This is like... You know, we were fucking, full-blown motherfuckers. And trying to, like, make it that, another thing I really hate is the way that my guys were always pegged into that all we can do is do hardcore matches because there's not anybody in Cult Fiction that can't wrestle. Okay? 2008 match of the year, voted by the fans, was Joker versus Brain Damage. A chair was used one time in that match, and Brain Damage was in that match. But yet somebody's telling me in that company, no, he can't wrestle. He's got to be in a hardcore match. Well, that's bullshit because I've seen Brain Damage on shows all over this country where there was no hardcore involved, and I've seen just as many fans as at CZW, and I've seen them on their feet when Brain Damage is wrestling. Okay, so this has to do with the decision. I'll tell you another man that got the fucking shaft as far as I'm concerned, Nate Hatred. We put Nate Hatred up for membership in Cult Fiction to try to keep him around because we like Nate so much. And I was told time after time. I was told time after time, you can't wrestle a fucking singles match. He sucks. And I'm going, guy's been a fucking star in this company for fucking 10 fucking years. I know I'm just Billy Graham, but it seems to me that if you think he's weak in singles competition, then you should be booking the guy in singles competition every fucking goddamn show till he gets better at it.
Right.
You know, not undersell him and limit him in saying, well, he's hit his peak and he can't do nothing else. I don't agree with that, you know, and I believe in pushing people to achieve beyond what people see that they're capable of, you know. So listen, back to the complaint thing. So the next and final complaint from Billy Graham came when the shit happened that we were talking about with Devin last time with the Cage of Death. You know? I mean, I was for a month supposed to take a fucking Michinoku driver with Devin off the cage through the glass in the middle of the ring. Well, look, the bottom line is, look, I'm about myself, right? But after a year-long feud and all the groundwork that was laid, not only are we getting buried, but at the 11th hour in November, what did Cage of Death become about? Did it become about Cult Fiction versus the Suicide Kings? Or did it become about Drake Younger?
No. Drake is at the fucking forefront, as always. And... honestly,
it's
I don't think it's fully right.
So I'm just saying, who's all about themselves? You know, who was politicking? Me? You know, and did I go in and say, no, we're not going to do the match unless we win? You know, like, no. Okay, we're going to do what we got to do. We're going to do the job, right? And so here it is. This bump is planned for a month. And if you look back, it's the same bump that Danny and Devin did at 2008 King of the Death matches off the scaffold. Scary, horrible-looking fucking shit that looks like Danny's dead. Okay, this is what we came up with. Danny and was great in helping me prepare.
It's a bad
idea. So was Devin. You know, I went up to one of Savage shows up in New York. You know, a couple weeks before Cage of Death, and we were hanging around outside, and I had Devin. I had Devin pick me up a couple times of how are we going to start this and what are we going to do once you get me up, And Danny talked me through it, and Danny really, really, I appreciate, he really made me feel comfortable with wow, I'm going to do this. Like, yeah, like Devin Moore's going to fucking, the Shinoku driver me at Cage of Death. It's going to be awesome. Like, I'm ready. I'm not afraid. It's going to be good. I walk in a couple hours before the show. Oh, no, that's not changed. That's not going to happen now. We changed that.
Why? What do you think made that happen?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. I go, what do you mean it's fucking changed? Wait a minute. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we can't do that. Because Devin's got to be on top of the cage because Drake's got to come out and throw him off. So once again, it's about Drake. What I'm doing with my body and to risk my neck and possibly being able to walk for the rest of my life, now once again, that risk and that sacrifice and that willing to give myself for the fans and the rest of the company is not as important as how well Drake gets put over in the thing. Okay? And I'm like, well, fuck that. I'm like, why can't Devin give me the Michinoku driver and then, as many other people have done in the past, climb back up the cage of death to show off and celebrate that he's won it? And
yeah,
then,
yeah, yeah.
No, you're just going to get fucking thrown 25 feet off. So first of all, I went to fucking everybody involved. I went to fucking DJ and said, dude, I don't get thrown 25 feet through the fucking air. Okay, and you know he said, I'll deal with you in a little bit. Give me some time. And he just ignored it. Okay, and he never came to me. So now all my guys are getting tense over this shit. And this is what they're calling me complaining about when I don't. This is now what they're defining as me complaining when I don't get my own way. When I'm saying I don't want to be thrown 25 feet free falling through the fucking air. Okay?
Not
and
25
as I said,
feet. Why do you keep saying that?
Huh?
It's not 25 feet.
Dude, when I'm up on Devin's shoulders and if he pressed me as he was supposed to, that's exactly how high it would be.
No way.
Chuck is 6 feet tall. His arms are 2.5 feet long, okay? The cage is fucking 14 feet. Do the math.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Go ahead.
It's real fucking close, dude. Whatever. 22
okay.
fucking
okay.
feet. Okay?
It's dangerous as shit.
I hate Daniel
being dangerous.
Give me 2 or 3 feet either way. It doesn't make it any better, okay? What I'm saying is, and believe me, when you're up there, it looks like 100 fucking feet. Right?
I'm sure
and,
it does. I wouldn't fuck with it.
And,
I give you all the credit in the world, dude.
So listen, you know what? I finally say, you know what? Fuck it. If I die, I die. Fuck it. I'm not going to hold things up. You know, being the big pussy that I am, I just go, okay, even though I don't want to do this, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And so we go in the back. Devin and 13 and me, we go in the back, in the ring in the back. 5 times we practiced him giving me a press slam off the top turnbuckle, which is about half the height. Okay, if that. And the first one did not go well because I turned, and then they told me what I did wrong, and then the next 4 went off perfect. So much so that the 4 were so perfect and flawless that we said, well, we've got this now. Now, of course, add that to the fact that nobody understands that Billy Graham took those 5 big bumps earlier in the night for no audience and nobody but
Billy
Graham and Devin Moore. Okay, you know, well, I don't do anything for anybody. And I'm not in the business of taking big bumps like that, you know. And so I do one when it's in front of the crowd to fucking, you know. But anyway, so that's what, as I said to him, you didn't hear him come back on me, okay? The DVD doesn't lie, okay? Pussy my ass. If I was a pussy, would I have climbed up there? What did I think I was?
You would never took the spot if you were a pussy. I mean.
Right. Did you see me run away? Did you see me go up there and then chicken out and run back down the cage? You know what I mean? No, I stayed with the
ass. It was DJ and somebody on the roof at a one tournament of death, and he refused to take the spots that DJ had to. So who was the pussy
Sumner?
There?
Sumner?
Sumner.
Yeah, and so, I was calling commentary on that. They were about 15 feet away from me out of the wall. What I'm saying is you can watch the DVD. You know, we got up there. As I said, the chain link was sinking under my steps, and I wasn't counting. You know, that's a new environment for me, man. It's not the same as having a solid ring under you. And so when he went to pick me up, and now he, on your show last time, you know, he threw this, look, Dad, I saw Drake around. Wait a minute. Drake Younger is this fucking strong motherfucker. When Devin Moore's picking him up and tossing him, Drake's giving him a lot of help. Okay, let's get real here. Okay.
I picked his bottom heavy ass up, cuz. If I can pick his ass up, cuz, I can pick your little lanky ass up.
Yo, Devin, man. What's
I heard something like that.
Devin, I didn't know you were on tonight. Devin, how's it going, man?
Oh, I didn't even
know. Oh. Devin,
his phone cut off. I'm sorry.
His phone cut off. Man, shit, I wish he could have stayed with us. But anyway, what I'm saying is, so we get up there.
Yeah,
and
his phone cut off like 30 times.
He picks me up. Now, I had already added to him, look, I weigh 168 pounds, okay? I'm 6'4". That's long. He's not quite as tall as his. What's he, about 5'11"? Something like that? 5'10"? And so, you know, think of that already, 6'4", right? Now you throw on, you know, my fucking regular assless chaps, weigh fucking
assless chaps. So you got to minus like a half a pound. Go ahead.
No, those things weigh 22 pounds. They're leather. Okay, they're thick. Those
chaps.
Are biker. Okay, my shoes weigh about.
Ass?
My shoes weigh about 10 pounds. I've got fucking listen. I've got metal belts. I've got my fucking. Gauntlets on my, like, so you add another 30 pounds, at least, 35 pounds to my body weight, and then I got all this fucking hair, and I got the Indian fucking breech clout hanging down, you know what I mean, and plus you throw in, the guy's been in a cage of death match for 45 fucking minutes.
You're
and
had
the fucking,
had
the shit beat out of him in all kinds of horrible fucking way, you know.
I had some shit in my pockets, and
tempura sticks stuck in his head, and been suplexed in the fucking barbed wire and bumps
that's
all over the ring and shit. Like, so he's been a bit beat up for 45 minutes, and I tried to take all this into account. So, look, he goes to pick – he picks me up, and now he's got this, oh, he didn't let go, cuz. They almost pulled me over, cuz. Oh, he didn't let go, cuz. Well, no shit, dude, because as I said to him, you didn't hear him have any – you didn't hear him have any fucking comeback for me is – no, I didn't let go yet because he hadn't fucking pressed me. I was still trying to post. I was still trying to push up on his shoulder to help him get me up in the air and get his fucking arms locked so he could turn me, and he never fucking tried it. Okay, you watch the fucking DVD. It was like I'm up on his shoulder, boom, he
throws me. That's fucking bullshit, guys, because you fucking held my
shirt. And I'm going to tell you this right now. While people are throwing me under the bus, there are certain individuals in my confidential circle who are very – and they are longer in the business than Devin is, who have seen the footage, and some of them are questioning whether or not that was an accident or not.
Could be.
And also, with everything that's went down, and the fact that – here, you ready for this bomb? That before it was Devin going to take me off with the Michinoku driver, a month before that, Drake walks up to me and goes, oh, yeah, Billy, just get ready. By the way, I'm giving you a Drake's Landing off the top of the cage into the concrete at Cage of Death.
Listen,
you guys are laughing. I'm not laughing for a reason because this was so serious. That he just fucking comes up and tells me, this is the fucking way it
hey,
is.
Hey, man.
And now listen.
I'm going to give you a Drake's Landing off the side of the cage, man.
Let me finish this. And so, I mean, this is some bomb shit I'm telling you guys publicly here to the world. Like, what I'm saying is that he tells me this, and I'm like, well, what? Wait a minute. Like, you're on our team. What? Oh, no, that's so that all the fans really understand I'm a real heel and I'm not with Cult Fiction.
I'm a bigger heel than you guys,
man. Now, listen, I'm looking at like this doesn't make any motherfucking sense at all. Okay, and I outright, at that moment, in light of everything else that went down, I mean, I outright was like, you know what, like, I don't like what's going on here. Like, I don't, and I don't mean just because of the bump. I mean that I began to suspect what was going on. And there's people looking at Devin throwing me off. Now, I don't want to believe that about Devin, okay? Look, I feel bad for the guy, the people that he shit on. I think he made a big mistake. And I think that in the long run, you know, it's going to come back to bite him on the ass. And I really don't think he's a bad guy, man. I'm not going to respect
that. Nah, I love
that,
man. I really do.
Mean, I'm just saying the bottom line is I
you
like
know,
that.
I got the impression I love the shit out of him.
I like him, and I had an interaction with him today, and I tried to explain the same thing. I'm like, look, man, like, I am not mad at him. I'm not. You know, I don't like what you did, but I don't think you hurt me as much as you hurt yourself, and that's my honest-to-God opinion. Now, there's some people that have looked at that footage, and they think he tossed me that way on purpose, and I don't think he did. Listen, I don't want to believe that about him, okay? But... is it beyond my comprehension that an idea of someone that has been weaned by people like Ian Rotten, that someone would decide that the best way to shut Billy Graham up is to have him have an accident and get rid of him? Dude, this is the motherfucking professional wrestling business. I'm sorry, like it happens all the time, and I'm not stupid. I wasn't born fucking yesterday. And the bottom line is, like, with the way that certain individuals have treated me now, I will never trust them. I will never put my body in their hands again. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, like...
Nah, I understand that.
You know, because they violated that trust by their actions to me personally, by their actions to other people personally, and it doesn't have to do with just physicality. I mean... if I can't trust you on your words, if I can't trust you on your actions as a man to man, then why am I going to be dumb enough to trust you with my physical well-being and not trust that you're not going to take the low road? And fucking, I mean, guys, this is the kind of shit while people are thinking that, you know, Billy Graham sucks and anybody can do this and anybody can be a wrestling manager and blah, 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 fucking blah, blah, blah. Okay, you have no idea. You have no idea of the fucking pressures and the real shit that's going on. This shit is real, man. And the fact that, yes, this is a stage scripted form of entertainment, but there is a lot of fucking crazy fucking scare. Look, Bruiser Brody was fucking stabbed to death in a fucking shower, in a locker room, in a wrestling promotion, and there's 25 people that know exactly who killed him. Okay? And nobody that would testify and tell the truth was allowed to testify and tell the truth, because even the courtroom was bought off, okay? And anyone that was allowed to testify that knew the truth lied and said they didn't know. And so that's an extreme case. I mean, people want to, you know, I think Owen Hart was an accident. There's people running around that are trying to say shit about that, you know, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson, you know, and a pair of scissors on a cross transatlantic flight, you know, is not a good fucking mix.
Yeah,
and certainly, men are men and males are males.
I mean, we're talking about legends, Billy, and you're very well versed on the wrestling business. And I really, 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 really want to get your fucking opinions on the passing of one of the greatest in Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Oh my gosh. You know, I think I might have been the first one on the internet anywhere to say something like this. My first quote, within 5 seconds of hearing it, I jumped online and said, only the Macho Man could upstage the end of the world. And then I quickly found that artwork, you know, Jesus. I think I was also the first guy on Facebook to paste that picture of Macho Man, you know, dropping an elbow on
Jesus.
You know, breaking news. You know, breaking news.
Macho Man, Randy Savage, one of the best fucking sites.
Drops elbow on Jesus and prevents rapture, you know. But I have a lot to say about that. First of all, I've been very fortunate to have, on several occasions, his brother Lanny is an acquaintance of mine that I really respect a lot. I got to do a 2-hour interview with him for the Ox Baker documentary that I'm still sitting on, and the Greg Valentine documentary that I started and never finished. And we talked a lot. By the way, Lanny does the best Randy Savage impersonation of anybody on the planet. I guess you could see why. Oh, he's fucking brother. But I just think that first of all,
go ahead,
hook
me up, Billy.
I to see people you know, putting his name, like I think even you did a post somewhere, Jay, or you were talking about how many people from such and such a WrestleMania had passed away.
Yes,
and some of those
it came off of Yahoo too.
No, but I mean some of those deaths I think shouldn't really be lumped into that list.
Well,
because but what I'm saying is, I mean, look, we all go. Okay? And
but early,
it doesn't matter whether we're in the wrestling business. I got news. We're all going to die, unless you're Billy Graham. I'm fucking living forever, motherfuckers. And that's...
That's crazy, because I hear, these suicidal posts out of your ass every 2 weeks.
I hope you will. That's the cruel joke on me, because I'll off myself, and then I'll be back in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? It's like Groundhog Day on acid, you know? But, Bill Murray's got nothing on me, man. So literally,
you gonna hear Sonny and Cher every morning?
The beat goes on and the beat goes on. But half breed. That's all I ever
got
heard.
You, babe.
But anyway, they say our love won't pay the rent.
Yeah, that's the way this fucking day starts every day.
Drake. I've got you, Drake. But anyway,
I got you, Drake.
I love Drake, man. I love Drake so much. I mean, I like.
Just doesn't love you back, and that's sad.
How can I not love Drake? I mean,
most people do, but some people is sad.
A humble, non-egotistical, straight up, selfless team player.
Well, you're humble because he's fucking you in the ass like Iron Sheik does people to make them humble.
Right.
That's the only reason you're humble.
Listen, I won't stoop. I really do love Drake, and it really sucks, man.
I do too, but it's sad.
I mean, it's just in other words, having people that love me, stab me in the back, fuck me over, and cast me aside is not. This isn't. It's not the first time at the dance for the old man here, and it's not going to be the last, I guess. I'm trying to make better choices on who I love, but what I was going to say about Randy and about the deaths, I mean, like, even Andre. Andre actually lived a lot longer than he should have by medical science, okay, due to what his condition was. And then even more amazing due to the fact that not only that, but he did take punishment in the wrestling business, and that punishment is not exclusively to, the physicality in the ring, but the rigorous traveling schedule and all those other things. And then, on top of it, man, the guy was like a crazy eater and a crazy drinker, you know what I mean? And a crazy...
You talking about Andre?
Yeah, a lot of women, you know what I mean? So, I don't look at anything about Andre's death as being a young death. And now this is another place I want to go.
Big Show dies.
Listen, Randy Savage was 58 years old, man. Now, it's not 76 or 82, but it's certainly not 34 either. And, I think there's no debating whether Randy, was a user of human growth hormones and things like that at one point. I mean, let's face it, back then, a lot of the guys doing this shit in the 80s, it was just standard, and people didn't really understand the dangers associated with it. They were legal then, there's really no, construing it as a tragedy, every day, and this people, and it's funny because I in that interview I did with Lanny, I asked Lanny, about this. I did that interview in 2005 with him, and I asked him about the deaths and the plethora of young deaths in wrestling. And I can quote exactly what he said on this taped interview. He said, "Everybody is asking me about the deaths and the young deaths in wrestling. People are dying. Well, yes, people are dying. And let me tell you something. Every day they are dying in alphabetical order from Alan Aardvark to Zelda Zipowitz. And it's a shame that they are dying, and I'm sad that they are dying, but nonetheless. But I will put it to you this way. I am a person who could have, when people said, hey, come party with us and do this, I could have done that. But no, I chose to be by myself, who I was by myself, because at the end of the day, I got to look at myself in the mirror. And he said, So you know what he was saying. That, in other words, first of all, I mean, the thing about Alan Aardvark is Elba Zipowitz, you understand, is that, you know, every day the obituaries are in alphabetical order. Some levity on the idea that we're dying in alphabetical order every day. I think it was brilliant. But in other words, every day, I will add to what he said. Every day there are people that are 58 years old having heart attacks, and every day there are people that are 58 years old that are dying in car accidents, and every day there are people having heart attacks dying in car accidents. You know what I mean? So to look at Randy Savage's death as a tragedy at a different level, I really can't do that, because I think it's also, once again, a point of my own personal beliefs. It's even related to, say, the thing with JC, you know, that people want to look at JC's life and say it's a tragedy. Well, it's a tragedy for us that are here that we don't have him anymore. It's a tragedy if there was something that happened that could have been avoided, you know, that could have given him a longer life. But J.C. Bailey's life in and of itself could not be defined as a tragedy, because to me his life will always be a triumph, because how many people in this world will ever get a chance to live their dream the way that he did, do something with as much passion, and achieve the recognition and mean so much to so many people in their lives? And so it is with J.C. Bailey.
Agree.
So it is a millionfold for the Macho Man Randy Savage. I mean, he certainly now about him as a personality in the entertainment, in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Of course, Billy.
Eric, do you have another a promo from Macho Man?
I can't play it because it's over. It's in the archive, so...
You can't play shit in the archive?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Ooh,
so,
yeah.
What I'm saying is...
Let me tell you something, Jay, let me tell you something, brother. I'm here trying to talk about Randy Savage, man, and I want you to let me finish what I'm saying. Ooh, yeah. And
that's nice, right there.
Ooh, yeah. There is danger zone. Because the Macho Man Randy Savage is here to tell you, brother. And then listen, like, Randy Savage, absolutely. First of all, on a personal note, absolutely in Billy Graham's top 10 wrestlers. Personalities in the business of all times. Okay, he's right there with me in my top 10, yes.
I would bring that number down myself.
No, I said in my own personal list. You cannot bring him down in my list.
Okay.
You can bring him down in your own list, okay? But he is in my top 10 of all times. And that list, you know, includes Johnny Valentine, my number one of all time.
Would you like to give
me the rest
of the top 10?
Yeah, my top 10 is Johnny Valentine, Roddy Piper, Greg Valentine, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Randy Savage. Where am I at that? Who am I forgetting? Oh, Terry Funk. Who did I leave out there, man?
Are you
Tully
going from
Blanchard.
10 back
No, they're just these are the 10. Listen, Tully Blanchard. That's about 8 or 9, isn't it?
It's 9.
9, oh, fuck, man. Shit. Those 9 were easy. Did I say Arn Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Arn, Tully, Rick, Randy, Terry, Johnny, Greg.
That's not fine.
Who am I forgetting?
Hulk
Hogan. Oh, goddamn, duh! Superstar Billy Graham, man.
You
know, like, what the fuck?
I think I heard you say Hulk Hogan.
No, oh, did you? Have you heard his recent rants, though?
No. Who?
Billy Graham.
No.
Not what I'm talking to, but Jesus. He is a sad dude.
He's an old man, brother. You know what I mean? He's an old man. He did a lot of shit.
Shitting on the bed.
He probably did almost as much coke as me, man, in his day. You know what I mean? But, like, he definitely did a lot more steroids.
I'll get him aside and shit like that. When, you know, about 5 years ago and shit like that, he was doing, like,
awesome interviews, like, everywhere, like, just talking about his career and, you know, just telling, like, being open with everybody, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's just, you know, it seems like he's just very bitter about everything that's going on. He's just, he's not doing really well health-wise. He doesn't even want to, you know, be associated
with it.
But, I
mean, that's, guys, that, what you're saying.
He's a legend
that
turned into a douche. I mean, it
but
just
listen,
happened.
Listen. I got something for you because this is an elder of mine taught me this, like, about when I was about 30, and it sunk in. So that's 21 years ago for me. And I think it would apply to this circumstance. And you guys are going to find this out, sadly, I hope. I pray that you do find out this sad fact of life, okay, because that means that you'll be enough to find it out. And it's like you got to imagine that the older you get, I'll put it to you this, right? Like, if you look at, like, say, you know, from the time you were in kindergarten to 12th grade, right? Like, that's 12 years of your life or 13 years of your life. Right? And how slow that passes, right? Like, wow, that is, like, damn, a long haul, right? And in the meantime, from the time I was 40 to where I'm at now, the same exact length of time it took me to get from kindergarten to graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And you know what it seemed like, and you know how long it seemed? It seemed about as long as my senior year in high school, the last 12 years. So the further that you go along and the older you get, the faster time passes. And
yeah.
then we start to face our own mortalities. And then we have a lifetime of surviving the ones that have not survived. And then seeing the world change in front of us and seeing our youth pass us by and seeing all the things that we wish we could have done that we didn't do or the things that we wish we could have done different, the opportunities that we're not going to have anymore. You know,
yeah.
So it's not – listen, man, you can't – so I guess my elders, the way they put it to me this way is that's what it is. And so if someone lives old enough to be an old man or an old woman, give them some room, man, because – they have a right to be a cranky old fucking bastard. Because if you can imagine, it's like, in other words, can you imagine what life is going to be like for you 30 years from now? Can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine if you could right now?
I'm lucky to be here if I'm there.
Listen, press a button and just jump to there right now. Well, it's the same thing. Like, you still are living on an alien planet, okay? The world that I was born on in 1960 doesn't exist anymore, man. Like, you know, like, we are in a different motherfucking place, you know what I mean? And you can't, there's not anybody yet that's figured out how we can go backwards. The only place you can go backwards is in your mind, and going backwards in your mind too much is another fucking fool's game and another trap that will surely drive you fucking insane. Also realize that all brilliant people, all whether it's a genius or just somebody that's really bright, that's a thinker, and certainly nobody can ever accuse superstar Billy Graham, Wayne Coleman, of not being a thinker, because he was a thinker to a level that he was one of the first ones to try to maybe question the ethics of what was going on and maybe come out and break the fucking wall of silence and try to, like, maybe speak up for creating some better conditions for the boys and shit like that. And it backfired on him. He's never made his own mistakes, but, I mean, how do you think it was for him when he was the guy that came out and said, what the fuck is this shit, Hulk Hogan claiming he did steroids twice? I shot him up 100 some times myself. That was a brave thing for him to do, man. You know, that was a brave thing for him to do. That was not the act of a little snitch trying to get out of going to jail for his bag of weed.
Well,
okay, because when Superstar Billy Graham did that, you know, he ostracized himself from a lot of peers and was vilified, but really, was he not trying to say that we don't need to have a world that's hypocrisy, okay? Like, there would have been more good for Hulk Hogan to admit what he had done than come out and try to lie to a whole other generation and minimize, especially when you're seeing all the guys around you that are dropping over from this shit, you know what I mean? Like, Hercules,
so
all these guys.
I mean, I agree. And my whole thing is, like, it's fucked up. I know I'm fucked up for saying it, but honestly, out of the four people, when it was Macho Man and Sherry and fucking Hulk Hogan and fucking Miss Elizabeth, the one person who should be dead out of that four is the original standing.
Oh, fuck. Good Lord, you're ruthless, man.
I'm sorry.
This is
just the way I feel.
Listen, I got to tell you this. you know, I don't even wish that on fucking Ian Rotten. Okay, I just don't because I don't have any love for Hulk Hogan either. Okay, I don't know the man, but I don't have any love for him. And I know plenty of people that are close to him, and I definitely don't love him. But I definitely don't want to see
somebody
into
a vegetable.
Listen, I sure as hell, sure as motherfuck, at this age with time running out, I'm not going to turn on my TV set and watch for 5 minutes wasting my life watching that motherfucker try to be an actor in a fucking 20-minute skit because the motherfucker sucks. He cannot play a character to save his fucking life, man. Like, get a new job.
Terrible.
You know what I mean? Like, I think DJ Hyde is a better actor than Hulk Hogan.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
well, no, that's a shoot.
I'm fucking Mr. DJ Nanny. That was a compliment.
Oh,
I do. I think he is a better actor than Hulk Hogan. I do.
I would
cast DJ in a movie in a heartbeat. I would. Okay?
Slim margin.
But he wouldn't be writing his own script.
Where the hell would you put DJ in a movie? Right there. That's the trick right there, okay, that he wouldn't be writing his own script. You know what I mean? Like... A good director knows how to pull something out of somebody to look at them and see what their strengths are and see what their weaknesses are, and then they bring their strengths out and they cover
up. DJ doesn't have strengths. That's why other people run his company.
Well, no, that's a place where he has a weakness. Like, because as I said, the bottom line is, okay, if I own a wrestling promotion and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair came in together and said, look, if you book Steve Lombardi, we're going to quit. I would tell Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair to get their shit and get the fuck out of my locker room, okay?
Yeah.
Because this is my motherfucking company. Okay?
So,
because you can't have that. You know, you cannot have that and go forward, okay? People at every job in this world, from fucking Boston Market down here from me in Stanford to fucking... whatever shoot job anybody does out there that's listening to this, right, there are people in every job in America that work in the same building next to each other that do not like each other. And wrestling is a job, okay? It is a place of employment. It is a place of doing a job together, okay? So guess what? Fifteen Amishmen go to build a fucking barn. Three Amishmen don't go, well, hey, we're the best. We're the longest reigning Amish fucking wooden peg pounders, and if you let fucking Hunts fucking drive the wagon with the fucking straw over here, we're gonna fucking not build the barn. You know, it doesn't work that way, man. It's just there's nothing to be gained in people strong arming their position, using their leverage to fucking quell others. And the only it's a no brainer. I mean, that is not ego. For anybody who doesn't realize that, it's just plain blatant hypocrisy and blatant jealousy and competitiveness with people that you shouldn't be competing with. You know, people that you should be working together with. How many times did I put myself in Drake's hands and let him rake me open with something or throw me into something or whatever, man, you know?
I understand. We'll get back to retarded people in a minute, but what was your favorite fucking memory of the Macho Man Randy Savage?
Oh, man, I've got so many of them. I'll tell you what, one thing that you guys first of all, I saw his first match, and his first match on a house show for the WWF was at the Spectrum. And they had nobody knew that he was coming into the company, you know, and I'm sitting in section 103, fourth row center on Prism, and fucking Randy Savage comes out on the undercard, and I was fucking marking out like a little girl. I was jumping up and down, freaking, I can't believe they fucking brought Savage
in. What year was that?
That was 1985, early 85, you know, Macho Man in the green trunks with the white stars on it and yellow boots, you know, like this, you know, no Miss Elizabeth at that moment, and I think he's who the fuck did he squash? I can't remember, but I got the tape somewhere. But some of my other favorite stuff with him. I mean, a lot of people haven't been exposed to. You know, the promotion that, and Lanny told me a lot of these stories about those days. But you know, the promotion that that he ran with his father and his brother and his mother. You know, they had, you know, great things there. They had the they had a long feud between Randy and Lanny, you know, like brothers feuding that was really had a lot of heat and was really, really cool. And then, of course, they had their feud with Ox Baker down there that was something that I loved, you know, like just really fucking loved that shit, you know.
Two future Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, you sure ended up to be, sadly, per our conversation earlier this year about the Hall of Fame, I mean, you know, sadly, you became a bit of a prophet on the injustice of that when I was saying that,
yeah,
that, you know, that Ox, you know, I mean, that Randy will get in. But, you know, once again, I still say that, you know, there's no way to... There's no
he
way
will he, get in, yeah, but you know, they squashed their fucking pride.
But this goes back
fuck
to once again, this is not a true, in the purest sense of the word, a true Hall of Fame. It is a company Hall of Fame.
Of course, it's not.
And so, and it's just like you know, am I going to be in the CZW Hall of Fame as long as DJ Hyde owns the company and Drake's like
Whoa,
you know
what is that?
Picking
what
candidate.
Is?
No, you know what I mean? Not even if they, you know, and besides that, you know, Robbie Moreno definitely goes in before me no matter what. Because he's the fucking greatest. And you know what, one thing I wanted to say, and listen, I didn't get to talk about another guest, and I'll just say something about this really quickly, because way back in November when we were talking about my people in the business and managers and stuff like that, for some reason that night between the, you know, there was a girl here, I was a little distracted, but like, when I was having that conversation, I sadly forgot to mention Larry Sweeney when I was talking about managers in the Indies. Larry Sweeney, the two guys that in the indie wrestling business that absolutely to me are better managers than me, and the only two are Robbie and the late Larry Sweeney. You know, and anybody
and
else.
And I agree. Know? And you know, it's just no hate against you, but, I mean, Larry Sweeney was just fucking complete personality personified. I mean,
I agree. Like I said, those are the only two guys that I give that kind of, you know, props to that, you know, I pride myself on.
He wasn't made for the business. I don't know what was, and it's just such a sad fucking.
Well, I certainly know that
I
think he's somebody that should have been, you know, I think he's somebody that should have been in the WWE on TV every Monday night, you know. So much more entertaining than half the motherfuckers, you know, that are there now, and there's no doubt about that.
I remember seeing him on WWE. He was actually, like, because, you know, I'm
swagger,
a huge Jakarta fan. Yeah, he did the whole... when they did the whole Nick Hogan thing, he was Nick Hogan. He played
Nick
Hogan.
Yeah, he was the fake Nick Hogan.
I remember marking
out.
I'm like, oh, shit, that's
sweet. Yeah, that was neat, man. Yeah, I love that. But I mean, but back to Randy. I mean, Randy had this thing where, like, even I mean, look, I was loving the whole wrestling explosion in the 80s. Obviously, and you could watch so many promotions at that time. When this big golden age was going on in this war, you could watch World Class and Mid South, and you know later then it became UWF and AWA and USA All Pro Wrestling, which was a combined NWA AWA. You could watch so many promotions were happening. Right, very obviously for me, my own taste is that, you know, my number one thing was the NWA. You know what I mean? Like I just preferred that brand of. You know, it was bigger. They were getting bigger in the sense of like a Vince McMahon, but on the other hand, they still always had that kind of old school ethic about, you know, like it just seemed, you know, less cartoon character, less geared toward children, and more like badass, tough, violent wrestling. You know, so what I really dug about Randy, you know, at that era when he came in, and then his whole first 2 years there was that. He just kept this, that even though the whole thing was being geared in that kind of homogenized, you know, geared toward the kids and the breakfast cereal and all that shit, but like Randy's character still, and his ring work and his everything about him, he still maintained that, like, you know, like I was always wishing instead of being in the WWE at that moment that he was in the I was wishing that he was in the NWA, like feuding with Dusty and Magnum, or feuding with the Horsemen, because I just felt he was such a bitch then. But I hated it. I hated it when it, when it became around 1990, and then they put him in the fucking, like, the cowboy hats with all the fluorescent colors, like the pink and green and shit like that. Like, I wish there
was
that
shit, though.
No, it was cool. Like, I'm just saying, like, it was so, like, to me, homogenizing the Macho Man into the look of everybody else. Now, and don't get me, and listen, you know who I've told you before on this show who the biggest influence on me as a manager was in my career, and that's Sherry Martel, as far as how I perform out there, you know what I mean? So I, of course, loved when the two of them were together. I dug that act, like a lot, you know? But, I mean, so many great, when we're talking about Randy, I mean, his feud, initially coming in, his feud with Tito Santana, his fucking feud with fucking Ricky Steamboat. I've got a match there from that era at the Spectrum, you know, on Prism, when I was actually live, because I used to go to all the shows. I was there, and you know, him and Steamboat, and like Steamboat just like being opened up, and like, I mean, it was not a brain damage gusher, but it was like where, you know, at will squirt blood at the camera. But what it was Steamboat was opened up like a faucet, you know, where it was the steady pour. He's just bleeding, man, like fucking bleeding all over the floor, all over the steps. You know what I mean? And they just
so you know, we only got 5 minutes left.
Athletic competition, you know what I mean? So Randy, I mean, is just, you're never gonna see anyone. You know, he's one of a kind. Just, you know, that so many people in this business and people that are not even out of their diapers yet, they're going to get into it someday, that Randy Savage is going to be someone whose tapes they look at, his matches, his promos, his legend, and he's going to continue to affect it and to inspire people who want to be in the business. And so, love the Macho Man, and it's a sadder world, just like anybody else that's done so much to help us escape from our lives too. Because I was not only hoping for his Hall of Fame, bro, but I was hoping maybe like we'd have one good last run of Randy and WWE or TNA coming in and being a character and just entertaining us again for a little while.
Me,
you know,
too. Yeah, actually, finally, like mended the relationship. They actually started to like make figures of him again, and they involved him in things again. They had that WWE All Stars game, and they had Macho Man as one of the characters. Like, the bridge started to be formed for him to be back within the mix again. And unfortunately, before he could actually get his true accolades and being in the Hall of Fame and getting his, I think he got his Best of DVD already, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah,
you know
what?
Before we get cut off, I want to tell you a weird coinky dink that a week before Macho Man, about a week before he died, or a week and a half before he died, his ex bumped into me physically and almost knocked me off my feet.
Who's that?
George.
George, okay.
Yeah, she's
George
married now
George.
To... Yeah, she's now George Frankenstein. She's now married to
George
Dora
Frankenstein
from the Misfits, and so... They were guests at Chiller a few weeks ago, and it was Friday morning. I came walking down the hallway, and she buzzed out of a fucking hall and banged right into me, man. She was wearing fucking
It's not a bad thing.
Oh, no, it wasn't. overall, but I mean, literally,